Well, you should see if Daydream Believer is on Canadian Netflix then.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hi, everyone. This is Vangelis here with WTF and TFW. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the final episode of our numbered episodes. That begins with the number one for the next 800 episodes. So I hope you're ready for a new journey coming soon for this podcast. Joining me at this twilight hour is one Gog Dog.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Welcome to 199.
Feels good, man.
Oh, man. Feels like 1999 all over again.
Oops, sorry. I'm building a... Via War for Cybertron Prime.
Rocket ship to get to the 200s.
That too.
I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some...
It sounded like a rocket ship to me, I don't know. Also, there's a clank. I was like, oh, rocket ship, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Also with us tonight is Mr. Seth Buzzard.
Hello, I didn't think you had the balls, but you did.
I did have the balls!
Hey, I'm looking at the image for your steak supplemental.
Uh-huh.
Was that... That was your steak there?
No, that was Aaron's, because there were no good pictures of my steak.
Because I didn't remember anybody talking about a baked potato, and there's a baked potato in the picture.
Yeah, Aaron got a baked potato with his steak.
I really wish I got that macaroni and cheese.
It was good.
Because I got the garlic mashed potatoes, and they were kind of dry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hate dry mashed potatoes. That's like, defeats the purpose of mashed potatoes, if they're not creamy.
Yeah. I really, really like mashed potatoes. It's probably my favorite food item. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just pretty much happy with any kind of mashed potatoes, but after hearing about the mac and cheese, I chose incorrectly.
That's all right. On the bright side,
I've been living in a state of melancholy ever since.
I like how that flowed. On the bright side, I've been living in a state of melancholy ever since. We're going to talk to you today about Transformers, and I promise you we'll only talk about food now and then. For real. To kick things off, we're going to talk a little bit about some award nominations that have nothing to do with fan voting whatsoever. Nothing to do with any of that nonsense. This is real, serious, daytime Emmy Award nomination stuff. For those who believe heavily in the daytime Emmys. Transformers Prime got 5 Emmy Award nominations in daytime Emmy Award nomination territories. They got Outstanding Achievement in Sound Editing. They got Outstanding Achievement in Sound Mixing. Outstanding Special Class Animated Program. Outstanding Directing in an Animated Program. And Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation. Are there any non-outstanding Emmy Awards, is my question, right up front. I don't know the Emmys all that well. But all of these started with the word outstanding, and that kind of makes the word less special to me.
Nominated and just sort of... Got the job done.
Nominated in adequate achievement.
The following individuals.
I'd be up for the adequate awards. It could be fun. That's just a quick little tidbit that I think is pretty impressive, and it's some well-deserved commendation for Transformers Prime. I hope they actually get at least one of those awards. They deserve at least one of them. I personally think they deserve... stuff based on the animation, for sure. I don't exactly know what a special class animated program is compared to a normie class animated program, or whatever it would be called.
Well, I'm guessing animated program is a specific or special class of program.
Oh! Okay.
So, I'm guessing that is all-encompassing of animated programs.
These listings are not as snappy as the Oscar listings, I gotta say.
Yeah. It doesn't have the other nominees on there, does it? Like, who they're up against? Because they're probably just going to lose everything to Adventure Time.
Let's see if the other nominees are listed here. This is a giant list. Oh, God.
Well, just look for outstanding special.
Everything says outstanding.
Cartoon show. cartoon animation.
Outstanding. Everything says the word outstanding in the front. Legal. Outstanding legal courtroom program. Syndicated America's Court with Judge Ross.
Wow.
That's running up against Judge Joe Brown, Last Shot with Judge Gunn, and We Are the People with Gloria Allred. I didn't know there was an award.
Shot with Judge Gunn. Wow, that show sounds scary.
It sounds amazing, is what it sounds like.
This is your last shot. How do you plead?
Pow, pointing you're guilty.
Revolver at him the whole time.
I didn't know there was an award for outstanding legal / courtroom program. That makes me kind of happy, actually. I'm not seeing, okay, daytime children. There's a lot of these. Oh, here we go. Special class animated program. There are only two nominees, Transformers Prime and Fanboy and Chum Chum.
Oh, man.
I don't know what that is, but that's by Nickelodeon. There are only two nominees in the category. I think Prime's going to win.
Does it explain what that category is?
Nope.
Okay.
Click the link. It's the first link in the news story. It's just a giant wall of text. Oh, here we go. Multiple nominations. Transformers Prime is at the bottom of that list with two. With Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Yo Gabba Gabba, and a whole lot of other shows. The top multiple nomination show is General Hospital with 23 nominations, followed by Sesame Street with 16 nominations, which is tied with The Young and the Restless. That just doesn't feel right.
I have to imagine that Sesame Street has so many Emmys by this point, they just don't even show up anymore.
They send one
like they send the interns.
Well, they send an intern with one of the new Muppets that nobody cares about. So the Emmys are all like, hey, can we get, you know, Oscar the Grouch or something? Like, no, you can get the vegan Muppet. I'm sure they have a vegan Muppet by now.
Probably by now. I think they turned Cookie Monster vegan, didn't they? Wasn't that what everybody was upset about?
No, they turned him self-control is what they turned him.
Oh, that's pathetic.
It's kind of fun, though, because, I mean, I saw something. It might be the commercial for the Kinect Sesame Street game where Cookie Monster is now treating cookies like they're cigars. So he, like, carries them in a box and, like, sniffs them first and is like, oh, that's a fine brand. That's a fine year. And, like, lays into it. And if that's true, I think I actually am okay with that as a character growth. Like, in his older age, he's treating them more like they're vintage. Oh, Transformers Prime got Outstanding Directing as a nomination, and it's up against SpongeBob SquarePants and what appears to be two spin-off shows, Penguins of Madagascar and Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness.
Oh, God.
A lot of this stuff is one hub show versus, like, 2 to 4 Nickelodeon shows.
Well, what about... I thought everybody was all crazy for Adventure Time. It's not up against Adventure Time and anything?
Let me do a quick search for Adventure Time.
Is it just hipsters that are really into Adventure Time?
Adventure Time has not received a single Emmy nomination in this list that I can find.
I've watched some Adventure Time. I find it very entertaining. So now I'm upset that it does not have any nominations.
Yeah, it's got nothing in here. I did a control F search. I can't find anything for them.
Bobcat Goldthwait does the voice of a giant spider in Adventure Time, and I thought that was kind of amazing.
That sounds great. I need to watch. I saw Adventure Time back when it was a pilot that was made among other pilots, and I thought it was like amusing, but I never actually watched it when it got properly made. I saw its fan base at New York Comic Con, but I never actually saw it properly. Its fan base were crazy. Crazy, yeah, it's passionate. Pretty weird. Yeah.
But, like, good weird.
Gog, weird. Have you got any thoughts on the Daytime Emmy Awards?
No.
Any outstanding thoughts on the Daytime Emmy Awards?
No, I wish it look. I mean, I think for the animation side of things, hell, even maybe the voice acting. I mean, it would depend on what it's going up against, but, I mean, from a technical level, I think the show certainly deserves to get recognized. I mean, even in the season and a half that it's been on, I think they've come a long way as far as like character animations and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does it say when the awards are?
Probably somewhere in this enormous Word document.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
I just found a great award. Outstanding Achievement in Hairstyling. Nominees, and this is basically lists of three hairstylists for each show. The Fresh Beat Band, Rachel Ray, The Talk, and The Wendy Williams Show. And some of the hairstylists include Renee DePinto Ferrugia, Silvery Serdu, Karen Bartek, Su Jin Yoon. There's a hairstylist on The Talk whose name is simply Valerie. She has no last name. I think it's great that there's an award for hairstyling in line with the award for best legal courtroom program.
The 39th Annual Daytime Entertainment Emmy Awards ceremony is to be held at the Beverly Hilton Hotel on Sunday, June 23rd, 2012.
Oh man, there's a tight running for Outstanding Original Song. The first nominee is the 85th Annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade by NBC with Jolly Dream Pirates. And that's running up against the 85th Annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade by NBC's Won't You, in brackets, Join Our Parade. So, the 85th Annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is in competition against itself and only itself for Outstanding Original Song.
Okay.
I hate it when award shows win awards. Like, I don't watch the Emmys, like, the nighttime, like, awesome Emmys, like, the not daytime ones, very often. But when I do, it seems like every time I watch, like, the Oscars from, like, however much earlier, but that same year or the year before, it seems like the Oscars always win like variety show. So it will be like the nominees will be like David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno, and the Oscars, and the winner is the Oscars, and then the director comes to accept the award, but yeah. He's the director of the Emmys, so they just cut to the director booth. And he's like, camera two, me. Thanks Smile. For the award, douche fags, and camera three, cut, and then that's the end of them.
I just found something kind of along the same lines. You know what else the 85th Annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is nominated for? Outstanding Variety Special Program. Class Writing. The Macy's Day Parade's writer, Mark Waxman, is being nominated, and he's up against the entire writing teams of The Ellen DeGeneres Show and Pop-Up Video. Also in the running is Christine Ferrero, the writer for not Sesame Street, but Sesame Street : Todos Juntos Contra El Hambre. This is the best list.
It just keeps giving.
I found out there's an outstanding writing and animation that Prime is not in, so these shows are considered to have better writing than Prime. The Backyardigans by Nickelodeon. Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness by Nickelodeon, Martha Speaks by PBS, Penguins of Madagascar by Nickelodeon, and Word Girl by PBS. I'm going to call BS on at least one of those, and that's going to start with a P. I've never heard of either of those shows. But that's just me.
Wait, Outstanding Commercial?
Yeah. Yes, and weird. Outstanding Stunt Coordination is a two nomination battle between the stunt coordinators of Days of Our Lives and General Hospital. I had no idea those shows had elaborate stunt sequences in them. That's kind of amazing.
Wow, there's a category just for food shows.
Yep.
If Guy Fieri wins, I'm going to be
there's a category just for judge shows.
Yeah,
it's like whenever there's two or more of a genre, regardless of how pathetic it is, one of them deserves an award.
Here's what I want to know: I'm looking at like, the network.
There
totals.
Should be a category just for like the housewife shows.
I'm looking at the network totals, and if there's just one category for food, how the hell does the Food Network have more total nominations than MTV or any of those things in the big block of lists at the bottom. The Food Network has 12 network total nominations. That's two less than the Hub.
Well, both of the two commercial nominees are MTV, so they got...
MTV only has three nominations total. Food Network has 12.
Well, all right. I guess they got to pick up the pace.
Hot Wheels Battle Force 5 is in this. I didn't know they were still making that show. Man, anyway. I'm going to get really...
There's a show called Biz Kids that's nominated, and the S in kids is a dollar sign, and that's a...
I don't like that. I'm closing this list. I've had enough of that. So be sure to support Transformers Prime in the daytime Emmys. It'll be outstanding.
Outstanding lifestyle program. Chop, cut, rebuild.
That Food Network?
It doesn't say.
That better be Food Network.
It's just like three words are a title. They just reach into a bag and they pulled out chop, cut, and rebuild. And then let's make a show about whatever this is.
Chopping, cutting, and rebuilding.
New approaches is a category.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know, but one of the nominees is titled Take This Lollipop.
I don't want to think about what that new approach is.
Here's a new approach to entertainment. Let's do something horrific to a child.
Televised pedophile. Huh?
I just imagine it's a show with somebody walking down the street offering random people lollipops, but not nicely, but just sticking it at them and saying, take this lollipop. And then they either do or they don't. And then they go to the next person. Take this lollipop for 22 minutes. Take this lollipop. Get away from me.
No, take this lollipop.
Take the lollipop.
Take the lollipop.
Take the lollipop.
Take the lollipop.
This lollipop ain't taking itself. Take the lollipop.
Oh, God. I want to go into new pick picks. The Emmys are like a big void. It's just like devouring my brain. I can't remember what Transformers are anymore.
Who cares?
BotCon's
over. Nobody cares anymore.
Hey, BotCon didn't get nominated for any Emmys. What does that say?
Well, maybe we just didn't find the category for it yet.
Best mishandling of a debacle. What? Let's go into new pick picks. Gog, you have a picture that you want to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just earlier this afternoon, we got some concept art from one Ken Christensen, who designed Prime Ironhide. And apparently this was designed, it appears, before the majority of the Prime characters, the rest of them were. Because said this was designed up to a year before, and I had gotten the impression from some of the stuff we had heard before that they hadn't finalized some of those designs until just a few months before the show premiered.
Oh, this is 2009.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So, but this I like this design a lot. This is what I like to see when people mix movie aesthetic and G1, because when you look at this, like, this is most assuredly G1 Ironhide. Like, he's got that face, he's got the red color, but at the same time it melds in a bunch of black, and he turns into a pickup, and he's got those giant cannons on either arm.
Oh, dude, okay, he's got the movie Ironhide shoulder pads, but he has the G1 Ironhide chest. He's got the windshield on his chest, but the shoulder things. Yeah, I mean, when I saw the toy for this from Cyberverse, I already loved the design. This is really confirming the intentions that I thought it had.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about it is it's not the shards of metal. I mean, and granted, movie Ironhide didn't have that as much as some other characters, but it takes that refinedness that Prime takes of the complicated designs of the movie and just rounds everything off and makes it this very pleasant to look at. Much more so than it's very non-alien.
Yeah.
I think. And I like this a lot. And yeah.
Oh, so, he even has the yellow stripe.
Yeah. It's got, well, he's got, yeah, he's got like some pinstripes in truck mode.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks really, really good. So I can't wait to see this, the because we've seen the deluxe version of the figure, but with the cup head and in cup colors.
Yeah.
So I want to see this with the Ironhide head.
And I mean, technically, like it looks like the cup figure is actually coming out first. So who knows? Maybe it just looks a lot like Ironhide. I mean, clearly it's Ironhide with a new head. But I'm already just looking forward to the Cyberverse figure. I love the way this guy turned out, and I like how in the description that was written on the blog, he mentions things like his man crush Eric Siebenhaler. Like, this is one of those projects that was worked on with the some of those dudes who are no longer with Transformers, and it's always kind of cool to hear that they still have input on stuff that we haven't seen yet. Like, even though they took off last year. And yeah, the colors are they're great. Seth, how do you feel about Ironhide?
Oh, no, it looks cool. Yeah, kind of just echoing what's already been said is really all I could do, but yeah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Well done, Ken Christensen. Well done.
Yeah. Way to go, Ken.
Quick applause. Quick applause, everybody. Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing it. You can't hear it, but I'm doing it. Good work. Seth, what about you? Have you got a new picture pick?
Well, as I was scrolling through looking, a lot of times I just leave a tab of the boards on my internet machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go days or weeks without seeing the front page. So I didn't know that the goofy little video I did of the Transformers pinball machine got front paged on the site.
Congratulations.
But that does explain why I got so many views so quickly. And I got two thumbs down. So
a couple people hate pinball, apparently.
Those people suck.
Can't believe you played Brian Savage. I asked Brian Savage about his machine. Asked him a bunch of questions about it, but I waited until he was in the middle of playing. And I kind of walked up behind him and said, "So what's this machine?" He's like, pinball. I was like, "Oh,
what's this machine?
Whose machines are these?" And it took him a very long, he was in the middle of a game. He was in the middle of a Megatron multi-ball, actually, when I interrupted him, or tried to. And he was like, this one's mine. One over there is on lease. And so I felt just dick enough to kind of hold off after that. Cause I was like, all right, I'm literally trying to interrupt someone while they're in a multi-ball. But Brian Savage looked like he had played his pinball machine a lot, watching him playing the Megatron multi-ball.
Yeah. This isn't really my pick, but it's pretty awesome when the Megatron multi-ball activates.
Yes.
Because the cannon barrel recoils as the balls come spitting out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come out of the cannon, unfortunately.
No.
But it simulates as though they were. But speaking of Megatron, there's a third party group called Toy World.
Really?
And they have a toy coming called Hegemon.
Oh, right. The Hegemon.
Which is Megatron.
Hey.
In so many words. I'm interested. We've seen two groups of pictures now.
Mm-hmm.
One is just like the final product images where it's like, here's some pictures of him with his weapons and here's in his gun mode. Gun mode, I think, is kind of lacking, but I mean, really, it's all about the robot mode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Really, because what are you going to do with him in gun mode? Run around out in the streets, get shot by a cop? No. So...
Hey, maybe I want to.
I just wonder if there's going to be a third-party barrel plug added on for American buyers. So I do. That'd be great. And then the other pictures had him standing next to other third-party and official Hasbro products. Uh-oh. So you got an idea of the size.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's just barely taller than the individual Hercules robots.
Yeah,
significantly taller than the not Insecticons.
I kind of was okay
slightly
with that
taller than Voyager Prime.
Yeah.
Prid Prime. Pretty prime.
Pretty prid. I kind of like the way that the height looked, because it seems like it's kind of like a nice modern height for like someone who's buying a bunch of toys that just came out recently. I saw a lot of debate about the height, and I was kind of going like, well, the height looks okay to me, but I don't know if people want Megatron to just be like really big compared to everybody else.
I mean, I'm curious about this. I kind of do want to see some more pictures, because it looks like he's got some kind of kibbly hips.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, like in this one picture, it kind of looks like there's clear plastic around his elbow.
That's something I saw way back that wigged me out.
Yeah, that could be bad.
Yeah.
But he's got a crazy ass looking sword. Sword is weird looking.
It's just excited.
Yeah.
His sword is very happy.
Yeah, so I'm going to want to see more. I'm going to want to see what the price is going to end up being. I'm curious, but I'm not committed.
Yeah. That's where I am. I think it looks great, but because there's two reasons why I want to wait for someone else to get it, is number one, I've never heard of the company, and number two, those clear plastic things on the joints were wigging me out ever since the first pictures, and so I want someone else to get it first, and then tell me that those parts didn't crumble, and then I'll be more interested. But otherwise, like engineering-wise, it looks cool. You know, it turns into a gun. It does it pretty decently. Kind of got a mad-looking face.
Yeah, I mean, he looks more burly than the Masterpiece Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
But it also looks like there's kind of a lot of gaps
in
some of the parts. Like around his midsection kind of looks a little gappy, chunky. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We will see.
Well, I just want to quickly follow up on your pinball talk, because I was just spent a little while looking for this guy's video. A couple months ago, back in February, like early February, a fellow on YouTube who goes by YouTube title Spida1A, like Spida1A, or I guess Spidala, if it's supposed to be like Leet. I think I got his name right. Or is it No, it's SPI. Yeah, I'm right. Good. Yeah. Anyway, he's a pinball enthusiast who's also a Transformers collector, but he's more so a pinball enthusiast. And so he got the limited edition Stern pinball machine, and he did a really, really intensive and I thought pretty decently put together series of videos on, like, actually literally from getting the crate to setting it up and playing it for the first time. And also giving a little bit of background on how much he likes Transformers for the viewers of his who are more interested in pinball machines. I thought it was a really cool couple of videos, so I'm going to try to remember to plug that into the topic list under New Pick Picks.
Wow. That's messed up.
What?
You're trying to upstage my video with somebody else's video, someone you don't even know?
I talked to him for a while. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it's messed up. It hurts my feeling.
Mr. I'm on the front page of TFW, but I'm not on the front page enough. Why aren't you front paging?
I didn't say that I was on. I'm going to wait until you tweet about some friggin' Bugman video and then tweet somebody else's Bugman videos.
You've been on the front page more than I have all year.
Your face is on the front page.
That's my cartoon face.
I mean, technically you're front paged every time a new episode goes up.
I don't get
a minimum of once a week.
I don't get news credits for that. Doesn't count.
News credits. That's all you care about is news credits.
That's
right. Three. You have 20.
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at it right now.
I thought I had like news 7. Credits,
20.
Oh.
No, you have 20.
Well,
I have 3. So why don't you stop? Well. Just stop it.
How many do I have?
I don't know. Here, I'll find out.
I don't have to answer these questions.
You have four. So even you have more than me.
You should.
So if anyone should be complaining, it's me.
Did you get a news credit from your pinball machine video?
I don't know. Probably.
Those news credits, like the notifications for them, it looks like they use the remnants of the old reputation system that we had for like a month.
Oh, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, I like it. It literally, like, if you look in your profile, the history on your news credits looks like the old, like, plus minuses with the anonymous messages that you used to get for those reputation messages that went very awry shortly before they disappeared. That was a dark time of news and politics forums. A dark time.
No, it was a dark time in the whole friggin' message board. It just ended up focusing around news and politics.
Yeah.
See, I know there's a deal where you could see what your news credits are for, but...
Yeah, there is. Like, whoever gave them to you is supposed to put in a note.
I think it's on your profile.
Yeah, your main profile. Like, the one that shows, like, a bit of everything. The user CP.
View all statistics.
No, it's not statistics.
There's my visitor messages. No, it's not in there.
Oh, how did I see it before?
I mean, I think it's in your user CP.
Yeah, that's on the top. Yeah, it is. User CP. Latest news credit point received.
Okay, here we go.
Yep. Oh, I only have one comment in mind, actually, which is about the Purple Ghost Train video. I know what the rest of these are for.
Okay, I got one for when one of the ILM animators was on the Sarah and Vinny show, and I linked to that podcast.
Yeah.
Because he was there talking about Transformers and Devastator's balls.
Excellent.
They actually talked about the balls. I got one for episode 185.
Really?
Yeah.
I just was looking at mine. I actually got a news credit for episode 159.
And the note in the comment said, not for this post. So I guess I got a news credit.
Oh man, 159 is the one where we talked about Sideburn and the one where we used the impossible mission clip.
What the hell? Okay, yeah, so then my third one is for the pinball thing, but the post that I got the news credit for links to a Spreecast that I took part in briefly at the end of the episode that was about My Little Pony.
Excellent.
And I think Transformers came up incredibly briefly there for a moment, but... I don't know.
Site represent.
What happened? I don't know. I don't know.
Now that we've solved that conundrum.
Take this lollipop.
My new pick is third-party toys.
Yay, those are the best.
So, this is about one that I feel actually has a really good discussion behind it that's not happening very much on the boards. But this is for Fans Project's new figure. After a long hiatus of not talking very much news... They literally have, like, a package sample already done, apparently, for the new Warbot Steel Core, which is the culmination of the Heartmaster project that we all got to see in person if you found the dude in the dealer room at BotCon 2011. That is the robot that turns into a vehicle and has a little robot that drives a vehicle that also turns into the chest of the transformed larger robot. So, this guy has a lot of aesthetics, especially in his head, that resemble City Commander. Running in tandem with the Fans Project fiction, where the last Fans Project toy to come out showed a City Commander with a hole blown through his chest, and the text saying, Chow, City Commander. He also kind of harkens to Energon Ultra Magnus, and by extension, Armada Overload, in a little sort of here-and-there way. But a lot of people are looking at this and just going like, wow, there's no overt G1 homages. This is kind of more of an original character, which I think is very important because I think that that's something that third-party companies need to be able to realistically do eventually when the ceiling caves in and Hasbro goes completely nuts and they can't make, like, G1 characters anymore. The small bummer, and I only say bummer because... I have a vested interest and I prefer original stuff to flourish, is that there are a lot of people going like, oh, I don't know who that is. I don't want it anymore. Which is totally people's right, but it is always kind of a bummer to see a large amount of that, because I'm like, well, the next time someone says third party should do original characters, I'll point them at that reaction to, like, the original big third-party company doing a more un-homage-y design. But I'm curious how this is going to do. I really hope it does well, because I think between this and stuff like, I always bring it up, Don Figueroa's project he's working on, seeing Transformers-related people taking their abilities and also their people who are interested in what they do and turning that into something that's not Transformers derivative entirely, I think is really important, because I think that's where third-party stuff needs to move. Unfortunately, I think that's also where a lot of people will no longer be buying this third-party stuff, because they're going to be like, well, that doesn't look like my G1, and they'll just kind of like walk away, which is kind of a bummer. And like I said, I'm not trying to come down on any one person, because it is your individual taste, but then I also sometimes see things like, I saw a post in the thread, which really got me, where someone was like, really, third-party toys aren't worth what they cost unless there's an homage in there. And I was like, wow, that's the most blind statement I've read in a while. But then again, I also think about things like the engineering talent that goes into these things and whatnot. And I don't know. Reading some of that thread was kind of a bummer, because I was like, wow, this is kind of entirely indicative of why third-party toys are locked in being so derivative. Because if they're not derivative, nobody buys them. And it's a bummer. But it's also a very interesting discussion also to hold up next to the usual fan discussions that happen around mainline toys, where people, you know, they'll talk about whether or not the homages are there, or if the homages are there enough. And then with third party, it's almost like if the homages aren't there, third party is the example of the toy line that can't rely on the kids buying it, because 99% of the people buying those things are the fans. And then in that case, the vocal minority or majority has an actual bit of wallet driving power. And I think it's a really cool sort of internet social study to hold up those discussions next to each other and see how you can glean information from each one that applies to the other. But I find that stuff very interesting. I also think that Steel Core looks really cool. I like the color scheme. I love blue and gray. I like the cold color scheme. I got to see the prototype at that BotCon, and I thought it looked really nice. I'm going to be picking this up for sure. But I don't know. What about you guys? How are you feeling about Mr. Steel Core?
I like it. I'm going to get it, because I am a huge sucker for the Masters type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Target Masters. Maybe are starting to become a little eh, because that's the only thing Hasbro's been willing to touch. Mm-hmm. And I love it. Like, I love Cyclonus. I loved when they did it with Masterpiece Hot Rod. Like, all the PCC stuff, like the Arms Micron stuff. Like, everything now is a little dude that turns into a weapon. So the whole, this people starting to delve in, and you get a little bit of it with the head robots, with the headmaster stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think that's really cool. But seeing full figures that are designed to be together like this, like the whole Power Master thing, I don't care if this is an homage or not. I love it. Mm-hmm. So, but I completely agree with you about the whole third party thing, because the only argument that anybody can hold against third party stuff, especially when it comes to like the whole dealer room thing at BotCon, is IP infringement. If toys are able to make original stuff and kind of use Transformers as, because, and this is the way I'd like to see them do it, because you have Fans Project, who definitely made a name for themselves doing G1 homages.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you're able to kind of develop their own fan base within that community.
Mm-hmm.
And so now if Fans Project starts moving off, they can still do things in the Transformers style that fans of Transformers and fans that they themselves have created over the last few years of people who have bought their products. Now they can start making original stuff that those fans can still appreciate, but Hasbro can't say anything about that at all. I mean, just because it's a robot that has an engine plug-in, Hasbro doesn't own a trademark that says you can't make something that a robot that plugs into another one.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's still something that fits the Fans Project aesthetic that we have grown to, or some of us have grown to really like over the last few years, and now they can't be touched. But it's still a good toy. It's something that's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. So no, I'm down for that. And this could be the thing that launches Fans Project into being able to just be their own thing. Like,
well,
and they kind of already.
That's what
they
kind of
already. Yeah, and they kind of already have with the, like, they have their own little fiction and stuff.
Yeah.
But
Like, well, the main thing I worry about is I really want to see how this thing does when it comes out, because I want this to succeed, but some of the reactions I read did get me a little bit down, because I was sitting there, and there were people literally going, like, well, I bought everything Fans Project ever made, but this isn't an homage I like, so I don't want it. And I was sitting there kind of going, like, really? I mean, like, it's 2012. They've been around active for, like, 4 years. 4 years? The moment they step away, there are people just dropping off? I was kind of like, man, like... It kind of gets you down feeling about whether or not this whole idea of getting into original properties can even work. And I'm sitting there going, will we need to have the perfect situation where one of these companies hooks up with a really powerful creative who comes up with like a fiction and like an original fiction that then grabs people that then they make toys for, which is going to be a way longer process, but maybe that's what's going to be necessary. Like, we got to see how this one does.
Yeah.
But,
at the same time, that's hopefully just one guy. So
I hope so. Yeah, like, well, there were a couple of them. There were enough for me to go on Twitter and want to get a conversation going, which was a very interesting conversation. But Seth, what about you? How are you feeling about Steel Corps?
Well, that whole kind of situation is something I'd been wondering for a while, was can these third-party companies go completely original and then still bring the people? And then I would even start wondering in myself, like, would I be interested? Mm-hmm. And I think this Steel Corps guy looks pretty badass. And, like, you know, what Gog was saying, it is cool to see a different kind of master being used. Because, you know, it's kind of safe to do Target Master.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a gun. Like, oh, this little robot turns into a weapon. So that's an easier concept to get behind than a headmaster, where if you lose the little guy, then your robot has no head. Or a Power Master, where it's kind of like, oh, he's an engine block? This is weird. I don't understand. It's not a fun toy by itself, sort of a thing. So I think it's cool that they're going into that direction, Wally being original. I wonder if any of these third-party companies would ever consider like trying to do an official licensed product with a fiction that already exists.
Yeah.
Like, find some small independent comic book. Or, because, like, we're even seeing 3A get into bed with all kinds of companies and do licensed products.
And I think that's going to be a really important series of relationships to watch as well. I mean, like, granted, 3A has a reputation for their schedule and for their timeliness, but at the same time, it's going to, like, a company that's hooked up with Valve and with, like, the Halo franchise and, like, out of all things, Real Steel. Like, if they can make
Metal Gear, if
they can make all those agreements actually work out and they are still the semi-independent art-ish company they are.
And that... Gundam.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Gundam. Well, yeah, I forgot about that one.
And they took a run at Star Wars, but it didn't work out, which is too bad because that Boba Fett and Stormtrooper look friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be important to see if these third-party companies, number one, can get away with doing, you know, original ideas and not lose too much of their customer base, but also if they can connect with other creatives. Like I was talking to someone about this at BotCon. Like, a lot of these third-party companies are primarily just teams of engineers and designers. So it's like all that they're missing is the writers and creatives who could come up with a fiction behind the amazing designs and engineering that most of them are doing.
That'll help them, but they don't have to do that.
I don't think they should have to, but
I agree. I mean, I think that's a good step and I think that that's certainly worthy of them trying, but
I really want to see some of these guys able to, I like it when they do those Transformers homage characters. I love it, but
yeah,
I want to, like, there are some very, very talented engineers and designers in these companies, and I've heard there's a very good chance they're not going to get hired by Hasbro anytime soon for having been involved with an IP infringing product. So yeah. I want them to have a way to flourish, like I've seen companies like 3A and even like GLaDOS and you know, Kid Robot Vinyls and whatnot, like all those things. That whole sort of pseudo indie scene feels like it has a spot for these companies. They just have to figure out how to get there and not lose all of their consumer base on the way.
Well, it might not be a bad strategy for Hasbro and Takara to hire these guys.
Mm.
So they're not out there making IP infringing toys anymore.
Mm.
Is it, if they're working for you officially, then they're not doing other stuff.
I mean, that also calls into the question the whole discussion of, like, would they be able to be as effective, like, suddenly being under the limitations that might come with working for a big company?
Probably not, because that's maybe the biggest advantage that third-party companies have. They don't have to worry about child safety rules and budgets. But, yeah. I mean, it would be a way to get those dudes out of the circulation if you want them out of circulation.
I really hope that, like, something cool happens in the next 2 or 3 years. Like, or not even cool, just something transformative happens.
Well, I could understand. Oh, transformative.
I didn't mean
to. I can understand.
Damn.
Yes, you did. Stop it. Yeah, that's exactly what you meant.
This is the first word that came to mind.
Yeah, I wonder why.
More phenomenal. Something more phenomenal to happen.
Yeah, and I could understand people coming at it from a direction of, this doesn't homage anything I know. And yeah, I guess it looks cool, but I don't have any sort of an emotional attachment to it. Like, it in the end, it's just this robot. So I do think having some sort of fiction to introduce these things and get people interested would help, but not necessarily mutually exclusive. But I hope this works out for them. I hope other third-party companies try this sort of thing out. Because I do think they do amazing work, and it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to start distancing themselves from something that could lead to trouble later on, or maybe not. But just try and be original and try to go out there on their own. Like,
yeah,
those figures or those like vehicles that we saw, what was it, like Acid something?
Acid Rain by Oritoy.
Acid Rain. Yeah. Yep. So that was that a completely original thing, or those designs from fiction?
Those, I think, were the only fiction I think they might be connected to is the whole, like, I'm the artist and I'm going to tell you that this is what's happening kind of fiction, like with Ashley Wood.
Uh-huh.
So nothing, like, detailed or available for reading.
And, you know, this stuff could catch on. It could take off because, like, look how big all of the stuff 3A does, that's just Ashley Wood stuff.
Yeah.
That sells like gangbusters, even in the aftermarket, sells for ridiculous prices, some of this stuff. And no, multiple things. So, I mean, it's not impossible for original product to catch on
precisely
and get pretty big.
Yeah.
Hopefully one of these guys can pull it off and show the others that it's something that's doable.
Well, the thing is, too, is, like, Fans Project is in a league of their own when it comes to, quote-unquote, unlicensed third-party companies. You have a lot of these companies, they just, like, their stuff is just mediocre to subpar. Like, it's, and people like it because it's like, well, this looks closer to this G1 character than this Classics version that Hasbro made or didn't make or whatever, but, like, Fans Project, they are a legitimate toy company. Like, if you've bought the Insecticons, like, it's not them trying to craft something that's passable that you can put on a shelf and get away with standing in for a character that Hasbro hasn't made. Fans Project is a player when it comes to creating toys. They can design toys from the ground up, and they are awesome. Like, so, like, if any company is in the position to do this, it's Fans Project. And I think something that's important to note that we kind of hinted is a possibility that could happen, but I think it already has with Fans Project is, like, Fans Project has a fan base. Like, there are fans of Fans Project. It's just, I'm sure we've stated all this before, but yeah, this is going to be the test is if they can do it. But I don't think a lot of other companies are in a position to do this because no one has reached the overall level of quality that Fans Project has as far as being able to make unique designs. Like, you have iGear, but like iGear is just oftentimes just taking designs from other toys and kind of mishmash them together into Frankenstein. And that's not to say that sometimes it's not bad, but it's not necessarily all that original, but with Fans Project, they just straight up design amazing toys, and they just happen to homage other ones. Like in the Insecticons, like you put those in a different color and change a couple parts, they're not Insecticons anymore.
Yeah, like, they're tanks. Pretty much.
Yeah, they're like straight up. But they're like ninjas and stuff, and all these weapons and stuff. Like that's not the Insecticons. But they vaguely resemble the Insecticons at best, and they put the Insecticon heads on them. But Fans Project could just as easily create something just as awesome that is still original, because those Insecticons are pretty original.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite examples from, like, there's three toys right now that I always pick out is the Insecticons that they did, the TFC Hercules, and the upcoming Mastermind Cyclops. Like, all three of those toys, I think, would be just as legitimately cool if you removed every aspect. Like, if it was three ninjas that turn into spaceships, if Hercules was a whole bunch of, like, just futuristic astro vehicles who are, like, white and blue, and if Cyclops had just a generic mecha head instead of a shockwave head, I think all of those releases would be just as legitimately awesome, but would also have a fraction of the attention that they've got, which I think is, like, the big crossroads that needs to be dealt with next. Is to make it so that the amount of design and engineering work that goes into these things, I want that to eventually outshine the homage aspects. So the homage is more like the cherry on top rather than the main draw. Like, that's what I'd love to see.
Yeah, well, with I think Perfect Effect is close to that sort of thing, too. Like, a lot of their stuff, like the Knot Reflector is really, really obviously what it's supposed to be. But, like, all the cassettes, which none of them turn into cassettes, like just very slight changes to like the little guy ones, like the Rumble Frenzy kind of ones, and then they're different enough to be considered original. And then really, I mean, like Laser Buzzer, the Sun in the Night, and King Bat, I mean, those are kind of a stretch to link them to their G1 counterparts.
It's just the colors, really.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, a lot of those examples are nowhere near as good overall as, like, the Fans Project stuff. But I definitely think Perfect Effect is on its way. But
yeah, well, like, with those little guys, I mean, they're much less ambitious. They're really kind of, they barely transform. It's a lot of kind of plugging on parts and stuff and just folding legs back and whatnot. But I could see a cool little toy line coming from Perfect Effect of small original robots. And they wouldn't even have to turn into anything else for my taste. I really like those little robots that they do. Like the like Ninja and Shadow Demolition and I think I've only ever transformed one of those guys once because I just like them in their robot mode so much. And then the advancements they made on with articulation for the Knot Reflector, just even more so. Like, I think it would be awesome. Like, come up with a simple little fiction, two or three factions with like a unifying color scheme, and just come up with like little armies and a little backstory about, oh, there's this crazy war on this planet between these like cyborg warriors or whatever. And I would instantly be interested at that small, very posable size. And I'd be all into it because I really like what Perfect Effect does.
Yeah.
And with the whole thing of like these guys getting legitimate work too, I often forget to bring this up, and I'm going to bring it up now. TFC does do a legitimate, like media oriented toy line in China, which is called Star Cats, which we get pictures of now and then. I've not checked any of that stuff out, but and perhaps that makes me part of the problem that I'm already lamenting about. But that is a case of TFC taking all of their ability that they have, that you can clearly see, in, especially in the Hercules set, and they're applying it to what is basically a toy line for a piece of children's entertainment. And that is another great example of someone being able to kind of like not even fully step out of the box, but, you know, shove their way out of the box more so than where they were before. Like I said before, Don Figueroa's comic book and toy line are also going to be really important to watch because He's a Transformers-oriented artist whose fan base are primarily into his Transformers work, and this new toy line he's doing, if I understand correctly, is not even really all about transforming robots so much as it is about cool modular robots. And I really want that line to succeed, because that's going to be another case where if Don Figueroa can do it, then maybe someone else can do it too. Or in this case, like, if Fans Project can do it, maybe some of these other companies can do it as well. Like, these are, like, Fans Project and Don Figueroa, and to an extent even, like, TFC Toys for sure, they're all, like, not really, like, leaders, but they are companies that have been around and that are kind of, like, iconic companies in this little field that we're talking about of quote-unquote unlicensed stuff. And I just really hope in the next couple of years, like, we can see this stuff grow in a really positive way rather than, like, stay in this homage void where eventually, one day, the ceiling's going to cave in somehow and it's going to just shut the whole thing down. Like, I'm not saying that it's inevitable, but all it's going to take is going to be, like, one crazy legal action, like sending lawyers to an Australian blogger's house in the wrong direction, for a lot of these companies to probably just pack up and try to figure out something else.
Yeah, and like one important thing too, I think the reason why is, and it's not a bad move, but like it's almost like in order to reach all these audiences, they have to latch on to the Transformers fan base, because in America, like, that's the only real foothold as far as people who are into robots and stuff. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's like in Japan, it's like you have just franchise after franchise. It seems like a new one pops up every year, and whether they last or not is a whole other thing. But it's just, it's interesting to see all these companies. I mean, and I mean all these companies, like, look at all the third parties that have popped up lately. And that's just because, like, Transformers is, like, the only thing here. And it's going to be interesting. And certainly, I mean, like, you go on to TFW, especially in the... Go to the Toy Arc section, the off-topic, and, I mean, yeah, there are members of us in the community that are into all sorts of stuff besides Transformers, but it's kind of the Transformers brand that has brought us all together, because for sure, that is the go-to franchise. So it's interesting to see these companies... let me rephrase that. It's going to be interesting to see in the future what happens with these types of companies, where if you have someone like Fans Project who are willing to use it to garner a bit of a fan base and a following and then jump out and do their own thing, or if it's just companies that are, like, I don't know, just a thing that comes off the top of my head, like, say maybe like Crazy Devi or iGear, who are just there to kind of try to fill every void as quickly as possible and make as much cash off of a single fan base.
Oh, Crazy Devi, I think, is a great example of a company that they're almost like the epitome of the company that is stuck in that void, where all they want to do is derive off of something else and make, you know, little add-on parts so you can tweak something more so to your personal liking, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, until this conversation, like, I've never really thought about it, but, like, it's just, like, that's how big Transformers is in the United States, that just everyone and their cousin in China is just trying to create something because it's going to get scooped up.
And I think it's fine. Like, I mean, I think I want it to be a realistic progression that a company of engineers who are talented get together. We're going to start our indie toy company. We're going to make a couple Transformers IP infringing things because we'll get a lot of attention. It's a little bit of a renegade thing to do, but we'll cut our teeth on some designs. We'll build up a reputation. I want it to be realistic for that to be a starting point, and for it to be realistic for that to move into, now we're going to take all the people who dug what we did and we're going to do our own original line. Now that we've garnered an audience, like, I want that to be a realistic company path in the near future. That's kind of what I'm really, really pushing for.
Yeah. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's going to be even more interesting to see where this all goes. But, and we're kind of all being futurists right now, because there's not any evidence of anything like this even beginning to happen yet. But, like, just the thought of it is, it's very intriguing.
Well, you get it. Like, I mean, we've all been getting into, you know, more and more getting our fingers into some of the more quote unquote indie toy companies, like, just even as far as getting that Rex, I mean, like, or dipping into Glios or looking into things like Foxbox Studios or all these other like smaller companies who do very impressive work on a very small scale. I think that stuff is what has gotten me so fired up about, like, I think third parties are almost like, they're running a parallel track to that stuff, and I really really just wish for them to be able to link up tracks and get into that realm where they could operate fully independently. And yeah, it is very futurist, but it's also, I think it's just also a really interesting discussion to have. And it's one that, you know, it's a lot easier to have in this environment than on an environment where people are going to cut in constantly going like, yeah, but it doesn't look like the G1. So what are you all talking about?
Well, I would be curious to see what would happen if this steel core thing was done and out earlier this month or late last month when BotCon was happening.
Oh,
and the big third party ban.
And what if they just said, like, this isn't a Transformer image? What are you talking about? I mean, yeah. I will always admit, like, and it took me a while to see it. There are, if you look for them, there are homages to Armada Overload. But even if that's intentional, that's a pretty obscure and niche thing to homage, especially considering the handful of people who will express adoration for that design.
Well, and you could find very subtle and small homages in official Transformers to other properties.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like Gundam Feet. I remember, animated Starscream had some very Macrossy aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in his transformation, like there's a very easy to find Gearwalk mode.
Yeah, or Energon Bulkhead, or Superlink Sprung, or that little Scout Hubcap. They have Gundam feet, like just very Gundam-y foot designs that are like enough to point out as Gundam-ish. I don't know. It's the whole thing is a really interesting conversation to have. And I implore folks, like, again, if you just don't like it, that's fine. But, like, if I just would implore people, like, if you do really dig third-party stuff on an engineering level, try to start looking at stuff and consider, like, find qualities about it you like that are not just the homages, if you feel that you can find those things in a way that you would enjoy. Because I think that if enough folks are really into that kind of stuff, there could be a really good positive push to, like, convince the people who make these things that that's a realistic way to go. And so just sit back and consider some of this stuff. And if all you're looking for is homages, that's cool too. But if you think that there's something else that you can find in these things, like, you know, please think on it a little bit. That's our new pick picks. And the next topic is totally official, Transformers. So, okay. The next topic is actually, I put this in the topic list. I called it super badass thing that we decided is on topic. And I kind of just put "we" in there without consulting either Gog or Seth. So I was referring to myself in the plural. But there was this thing that Kenji Ishida and JS Robotics made, which is basically a remote control car that can remote controlledly turn into a robot without falling over, and then can remote controlledly punch things and quote-unquote walk. Although the way it walks is the best thing ever, because it kind of just jimmy shuffles. Like, it transforms really slowly, almost cinematically. Like, I love the way, like, the two fenders come together to form a hood chest. Like, oh, man, he, like, punches his hand in the air. Like, it's a robot! And he goes, like, like, just Jimmy walks off the side of the screen. So I think this thing is really cool, and I'm surprised I've only received one email or Facebook message about this from a friend of mine who's not on TFW as often as I am. This feels like the next Soundwave boombox video or breakdancing video kind of thing. But have you guys checked this out? And if you have, how do you feel about it? Seth, this is more third-party stuff, I got to admit.
Except for it's not for sale, is it?
No.
If it's not for sale, then it's not third-party.
That was the first thing I looked for, because as soon as I finished watching the video, I was like, I would put down $150 for that right now. But it is a one-of-a-kind thing.
It would cost so much more than $150. It would be so expensive, it's nuts.
No.
We've seen little RC cars transform in the past.
Oh, yeah.
But this seems much more elaborate and like the next kind of step up of that. So it's cool in that regard. The walking is very comical. They're just like, is he kind of... Like, very, like, there's no bending of the knee. It's just like his legs kind of spasm.
And I like how he kind of just flips out, too, like, from being completely still to just start spasming everywhere. He just shuffles off the side.
Yeah, but I mean, I couldn't even wrap my head around even thinking about trying to build something that, like that myself. So anyone that could make anything like that has got it way over on me. So, no, it's cool. And, I don't really know where it goes besides being their calling card to get a job in robotics later on, or get a grant or something and hook up with some university and building robots. But, yeah, I mean, whatever they were trying to do, they did it. So it's cool.
Excellent. Gog, how do you feel about it?
No, this is awesome. I mean, that's what
that'd
we
be,
love.
That'd
we
be
like
rad
art.
If Gog yelled deeply offended when he asked how he felt. Hunger!
No, but like, this is what we're all into. We are into robots that turn into cars and stuff. And that's what that is. Like, it's straight up a robot that turns into a functional car. The car can steer, it can drive, and then it can turn into a robot and walk around. Like, I've never really seen anything quite like this. And yeah, it's kind of simple and it's not, you know, fully realized as far as what it's going for. But no, this is awesome. And this is, I mean, the only thing I can say is I hope that this is just a sign of things to come. Like, more. Make more of this. This is what I want to see in my world before I die.
This makes me think of how amazed I was when the Armada Optimus Prime trailer just unfolded by itself back in, like, the early 2000s. And I see this, and I'm similarly amazed now in 2012. And this is way cooler than that stupid opening box.
Yeah. But this is what needs to happen in the world. This is what the world needs, is this.
Yes.
And except for just keep getting better. Keep getting more amazing and do it over and over and over again.
I want to drive one of those.
Yes, exactly. Make that except for bigger.
Just increase the size of all the components so that I can fit inside.
Yes.
That is your mission.
You would severely ruin pavement. With a giant life-size version of that, just
the way it walks,
spaz walking down the street.
Can you imagine the sound of that thing?
Can you imagine the first guy that gets a traffic ticket because his robot left a footprint or something?
It wouldn't leave more than a footprint. It'd leave a crater if that thing started walking, especially on like a bad road. It's like spraying pieces of concrete everywhere. That'd be amazing. Anyway, I really wanted to talk about that thing, at least for a brief moment, because it is too damn cool. And if you haven't watched that video, because you want to be the cool guy who doesn't watch the videos everyone's watching, then get over it and watch the video, because it's really cool. Guys, I was provided from a secret location with a listener voicemail for today. It is from Ursa Magnus. It's from September. Shall we play it?
Okay. Let's.
Here we go.
Gentlemen, this is Ursa Magnus. I have a comment and a question for you.
Whoa.
First of all, I've been enjoying the off-topic talk a lot with my own interest in Transformers waning. It's good to hear you all talk about things other than that, especially when you talk about the Marvel Universe lines. And my question for you all is, with the current terrible state of the economy, have you found that has affected your buying habits in any way, or have things remained pretty much static? Thank you all, and Vangelis, this is for you.
Oh, god damn, that was satisfying.
Is he in witness relocation?
Maybe his voice is just that deep. Maybe it's just that deep. Hello, gentlemen.
I imagine while he was recording that, he was, like, backlit, so he was just all silhouetted, too.
He's just the rim lights, and only the rim lights. I learned that at school. I can't get over how cool the voice in that question sounded. But, I don't know, I'm in Canada, so I'm the worst person to ask. Like, the only real effect, economy-wise, I felt was the Japanese yen being a bastard. So I haven't got much to really offer to this one. I don't know. Gog, how about you?
The only way that it's affected me really is the dollar to yen ratio. My purchases from Japan have decreased significantly.
Same here.
Yeah. I mean, just when it, if when a large box of stuff comes over and it costs $70 just to ship it, that alone is going to put the kibosh on the limit of stuff that you're being able to import. There's lots of stuff that I've really wanted and I just could not justify it. Yeah. Whereas you look back about 3 years ago when I was getting a new package every other week. Maybe the longer than 3 years ago, but
there's an entire line that I pretty much like, I want to collect it, but I have to cut something out and it was new. That's Super Robot Shogokin. I have like 3 figures from that line. I wish I had like 15 figures from that line, but I had to cut something and I was already collecting other things. And I was like, I'm sorry, SRC, but I'm going to have to come back to you sometime. SRC, Super Imaginative Shogokin as well. Just like every line that is like cool but not core, like I kind of had to watch from the sidelines, and I'm like, that, yeah. I mean, and this is very first world problems, but I mean, that is kind of like same as you were just saying, that's the extent for me. It's just there were lines that 2 or 3 years ago I would have just been buying because they're cool and would have been like $30 extra per month, but now 3,000 yen is not $30.
Yeah,
so and, I have to hold my hands up.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that, as far as domestic purchases, no, like my job, I've been very lucky and I've been very thankful for my job. I've been in my job or work for this company now for this year will actually be 10 years. And at no point has my job ever been in jeopardy. My income has never decreased. So no, like as far as domestic purchases and stuff hasn't really affected me at all. Like the worst thing that's happened to me is Transformers Deluxes have gone from an average price of about $10 to an average price of about $13 or $14. I can understand how some people would be frustrated with that, but like given, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a whole lot from my perspective. So, but it's like, it's no, I mean, it's really, yeah, that's the only way that it's really affected me is importing stuff, from Japan. And that has been significant. But outside of that, not really at all.
Seth, what about you? Have you been affected very much?
Not for the most part. Over this last year, my rent has gone up because, excuse me, I'm all choked up about it.
My rent went up. Just,
yeah, like the economy has affected other people I know, and then that has sort of kind of rolled downhill, and it would be much more expensive for me to live somewhere else. Like, I still have a really good deal going on as far as my cost of living goes, but it did kind of push me into being a little more choosy with things that I buy. Like, I spent much less at BotCon this year than I have in years past. Mm-hmm. And like in the past, I would just be bored on a weekend and go to the store and there wouldn't really be anything that I wanted, but I'd be like, oh, I don't have this guy yet. I guess I'll buy this guy just to have gotten something. And now I'm a little more likely to go, I'm not really into that guy. I'll leave it here. So yeah, I mean, it's nothing too severe, but, and it's probably, I'm running out of places to put stuff.
Yeah.
So it's probably good that,
yeah,
I kind of,
that's affected my purchasing decisions more than the economy. It's just the fact that I'm just getting to the point to where I'm just like what you're saying. Like, I don't need that guy. Like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to get. And if I'm getting him, it's out of curiosity, but then you do that 20 times in a year and now you have 20 figures that you didn't really have the room for to begin with.
Yeah, you reminded me. This is actually my cheapest BotCon as well. A majority of my money was actually spent on food. Because I mean, I bought the convention toys, which is still a sizable chunk of change. But usually, I would buy the convention toys and then like drop another like $400 to $500 in the dealer room. And all I bought at BotCon was really like a handful of things, mostly from people I already know. I didn't really run around the dealer room going like, oh, there's an Encore that I forgot existed, and I want to spend money on something, so I'm going to buy it, which is how I ended up with several of my G1 reissues over the years. I don't know. Also, yeah,
like, I got so many figures over the years where it's like I bought them, opened them, transformed them a couple of times, and then I couldn't care less about them anymore.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff that I never even bothered opening. I'm like, oh, bought this, I'll open it later, and then just never did. Not because I'm trying to keep it sealed or anything, it's just that's how quickly I decided I didn't care anymore. So I'm really trying not to do that anymore.
How do you guys feel about Ursa Magnus? Yeah, Mr. Ursa Magnus's avowed support of us talking about Marvel Universe.
Huh?
Like, I wish Marvel Universe would make more dudes that I'm interested in. Like, there hasn't been one out in a while that I've really cared that much about. I'm kind of interested in that Mr. Sinister pack. I guess it's a comic pack that's out now.
Oh, yeah,
that,
yeah.
That I've never seen, because I've always thought
I like him.
90s Mr. Sinister was cool, but...
There's a Nova coming out in the small scale that I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I like Nova, and they're doing...
What does Mr. Sinister come with? Is that Gambit?
Gambit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason why... Like, P.O. found those comic packs and wasn't going to buy them, and then he found that one in the Thanos one, and it was like $12. So I said, hey, can you bring that Thanos Warlock pack to TFCon? And if it wasn't Gambit with Sinister, but someone that I actually have, like, emotions for, I probably would ask him to grab that too. But I don't want a superfluous Gambit figure that I'm never going to look at. I don't dislike Gambit, but I feel nothing when I look at Gambit. I used to think he was cool when I was a kid and he was on the 90s cartoon, but that's really about it.
I thought he was cool when he was first introduced, and then I thought they kind of burned him out pretty quick.
Bon cher!
Yeah, it's like, you know, he can only be so Cajun before. It's like, all right, he is...
We make really a gumbo back into swamp! Yeah.
It's like, really, you're talking about the swamp again? All right.
I have playing cards. I have a metal stick.
I remember there was a rumor kind of early on in Gambit being around that they were going to reveal that he was a third Summers brother.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was the intent.
Cyclops and Havoc.
That was the intent. And then the writer that took over ended up doing his own thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen.
Mm. But I hope that answers your listener voicemail, Ursa Magnus.
Retconning the Summers origin and like, oh, and then we threw your other brother out of the plane after you guys jumped out. And his parachute landed in Louisiana.
And he picked up a real, real thick accent.
It's like, wow, we totally forgot that we had another brother on the airplane.
Anyway, we got a written listener question as well, from February, from Guard Convoy, who I actually met at BotCon, and who handed a bunch of chips to Aaron when Aaron had his big streak of getting lots of chips in the poker and blackjack night and whatnot. So his question reads, hello, it is I, the legendary Guard Convoy, with a couple more listener questions for the podcast. Question one. If Hasbro were to bring over the Human Alliance scale to the Prime toy line, which character would you like to see get done in this scale and style? Me personally, I want to see a Knockout in this style, because, you know, it's Knockout. Yes. Gog, who do you want to see as a Prime Human Alliance?
I think we talked about this before, didn't we?
I
think we theorized on the idea of an RC.
Yeah. Specifically yeah. Well, just RC, I think.
Yeah. Well, I had said that just because I figured that would be the only way that we'd ever get a larger scale RC that could actually have the, you know, because her deluxes are pretty small and there's only so much you can do at that scale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, do everybody. I mean, Bulkhead would be great, but I don't know, because the whole, like, Human Alliance thing, Human Alliance started off really strong, I think, and it kind of got worse as it went, as it continued on. So
it got better and then worse and then better. Like it would spike and then plunge from figure to figure. And then the Dark of the Moon Human Alliance figures were, I like them, but they were also still, they were not improvements in any way. they were all like, it was basically just the two, it was just the two of them, right? It was just the two wreckers. And Leadfoot was pretty much a mess unless you were really imaginative. And Roadbuster, I thought was cool, but he was also no better than any Human Alliance figure that had come before him. And that kind of sucked, considering that he was an entirely new wave of designs for that scale. But I would like to see RC as well. And actually, I think, like with Prime, if you're going to do Human Alliance, then yeah, just, you know, do all the kids with their partner robots. Do Fowler with Prime. Do Silas with Nemesis Prime. That's already pretty much...
Do June with Ratchet.
Yeah. I know a whole bunch of people who do June with Ratchet. They write about doing June with Ratchet. Read that. The internet.
Nice.
Seth, is there anyone in Prime specifically that you think would be a really cool Human Alliance that you've seen so far?
No. Like, when Human Alliance started, I thought, this is amazing. I'm going to collect all of them. And then I never got anything past the original Bumblebee. So, I don't know. I think the Human Alliance people come out kind of cruddy.
Mm.
So I don't even know if they'd be able to pull off like the Prime people design at that little scale.
Yeah.
I'll pass on the whole thing.
Well, luckily that's not the only question we have to think about. So we can move into happier things.
Okay.
Question knee. If you were given the choice to pick one character from any piece of Transformers fiction, and that one character was to be used in every single piece of Transformers fiction from here on out, who would it be? Seth, who do you want to always...
Chip.
Okay.
Or Huffer. And or Huffer. Also Huffer.
Imagine if that actually happened. Like, if every series from now
Huffer
on had Huffer.
Wheelchair.
Oh, God. Crippled Huffer. I can't walk.
Or what if every series had Chip as like the dude back at base coordinating and sending people on missions?
Imagine if Chip
because
was
now
like
he's a master strategist,
like military Chip,
yeah. And he has an eye patch now
because
he got it involved in some stuff.
He got his eyes gouged out in Tijuana.
Yeah, both of them. He has two eye patches. He's blind now. He's got a braille keyboard that lets him type like hell much faster.
Braille keyboard.
But just Huffer, actually. Huffer. Like, if we have to pick a Transformer.
All right.
Huffer's becoming my avatar. I like Huffer.
Gog, if you had the ability to have a Transformer always be in the fiction from now on, who would it be?
How about Jinrai, so we could finally get a decent God Jinrai toy?
Then he'd totally go like Unicron did, where we'd be really happy at first, then 4 years later he'd be like, still doing Jinrai?
Well, that's the problem with this question, is if it's going to be in every single... No matter who it is, you're going to get tired of him after a while.
Yeah.
So, that's at least I want to choose somebody who will likely... You know what? How about Star Saber? Because then we'll get some cool Star Saber toys.
Oh, imagine like Star Sabers that could deviate from the core design, like after a few years, when it's just a name that you're using, like, hey, we're going to do the new Star Saber, who's like a helicopter who has like four swords.
Yeah. Or then they'll pull an armada and it'll just be like, the Star Saber is a group of minicons that transform into a weapon.
Oh, that already happened.
Mm.
Bum, bum, bum. I would love to see Sky Gary in every series from here on out.
Brandis.
That'd be weird.
You'd be weird.
Maybe I would be. I want to see Lockdown in every series, and I want to see him deviate from his core, but still maintain several of his core aspects at the same time. Also, because we kind of already are semi doing that with him showing up in like every single toy line in some fashion. Like I won't be surprised if suddenly there's a Prime Lockdown if it makes it to like season 3 or 4.
And he has swords.
Yeah, and he's got a huge mustache.
he's a nemesis of Wheeljack. And him and Wheeljack are just sword fighting across the galaxy.
Sword fighting across the galaxy would be the name of my fan fiction about the two of them and their relationship.
And then Lockdown could get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Because he has swords.
I would nominate Lockdown for the Hall of Fame.
I would sword vote for of him. Fame. The Sword Award. They're not going to call it the Hartman Award anymore. It's the Sword Award.
They just call it the Sword because they missed the A on the keyboard and they hit S instead. And they thought it looked cool. The Sword.
Only characters with swords get nominated.
Question Trey from Guard Convoy is, CM Corps seems to like Master Force with how the new Gutokuru Jinrai and Minerva are turning out. What other human characters, be it Master Force, including Pretenders, or other Transformers fiction, would you like to see get this treatment? If GogDog is answering the question, he is barred from answering Lander and or Metalhawk because, quote, I am a dick and I need to get him back for making me pre-order the CM Corps Noriko. Oh. So who do you guys want to see in Gutokuru? Gog, if you could not choose Lander or Metalhawk, who would you choose?
I'm going to choose Lander and Metalhawk.
Oh,
nobody puts GogDog in a corner.
I wasn't going to even choose him before until you said I couldn't. Now I'm going to choose him.
No, I want... No, but in serious... Like, I've had this conversation with other people, but I think the CM's Corp getting into the Master Force line is brilliant, and I'd love to see them continue with that series. Like, let's get some of the Decepticon... Headmaster Juniors, like, let's get a Cancer or a Wilder or something. Like, having a little Cancer in his armor, like, that would be... Yes, I know. But, no, that would be cool. You can get the Godmaster Brothers, the Buster and Hydra.
Did they hint at doing Buster and Hydra, or was that just
that was somebody had mistranslated that in the thread.
It was
basically like designer notes. Like he had mentioned that his favorite characters or his favorite whoever from that series was Buster and Hydra. He was just talking about like his love for Master Force because the guy who designed it apparently or one of the guy whoever was did that write up was a huge fan of Master Force.
Awesome.
Somebody in the thread basically didn't even plug it into Babelfish. They like read the katakana.
He said
like,
Buster Hydra.
Yeah, and then somebody front paged it without fact checking it. But yeah, that was a huge bummer that wasn't real. But that would be cool. But like the Pretenders, the Pretender dudes, like because they've already shown that they're willing to make. The humans in their armor, so yeah. The Pretenders from a design standpoint would be really no different. But I'd love to see all the Pretenders let's get Diver and Phoenix and like all those guys. Give them removable helmets just like Jinrai and Minerva. Like any of those, I would gladly scoop up. But obviously, Lander and Metalhawk are the two that I would love the most because that would be completely off the wall and awesome.
And it would be a really good human face Metalhawk sculpt that you could then jam onto the Thunderwing.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the thing is that's what I've been saying from the beginning. Like, come on, CM's Corp. Like, keep this up because you can show BotCon what Metalhawk's face looks like because they don't seem to understand.
And Seth, who would you like to see in the Gutokuru line of human beings?
Do I really have to say it?
Yes.
Don't you already know?
What if he was in battle armor?
Oh, you mean Kicker?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say Kicker.
Exactly.
You thought I was going to say Chip. Ha, I burned you.
I was about to say something about him having the 90s Professor X hover chair.
No, that would be offensive. No, I mean, if they're doing dudes in armor... I mean, I think GOG's got a better idea because if they're already doing headmaster characters, keep doing that. That makes sense. And then Pretenders would make sense. But I always kind of liked the kicker armor. I have the Microman kicker.
Yeah, me too.
The character was annoying, but I thought the armor design was cool. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Kicker get some sort of updated figure somewhere, somehow, some way. And,
you know,
also, Circuit Breaker. That's my other go-to human character.
Well, I think if they did Kicker and Misha from Energon or Superlink, whichever is your poison, because they're both poison, like, there was a market for Misha figures for more than a year or two. And she was basically, like, just in, like, girl Kicker armor. So I think if they did the two of them, you know, with cool enough accessories, like, you know, a big Star Saber and stuff, I think there could be a market for that stuff. So I'd kind of like to see him go for that. I was just rewatching some clips of... I rewatched a part of Armada that I actually really liked, which is, like, this brief bit, the final moments of that Starscream. And then I went and watched the clip where I couldn't even find the Superlink one. So I found the Energon clip of when Optimus Prime has a fist, like he inflates and then has a fist fight with Unicron. And I was surprised that, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, Gary Chalk did a way better job of that scene than the really good voice actor they had for Grand Convoy. Because when they did the Energon version, they didn't pitch Gary Chalk down. In Superlink, they made it like three times as silly because when Optimus Prime got huge, they also like pitched his voice down like 700% to the point where he was unintelligible. So he's got huge and he's like, and then it was like having this fist fight with Unicron in like a big Milky Way swirl. Such a stupid show. Guard Convoy goes on to finish up by saying, quote, "Thank you for taking the time to answering my questions, and if you guys happen to answer this before then, I look forward to seeing you guys at BotCon. But if it's after, well, it was nice meeting you, even if Aaron is a jerk." And that's really funny to read now, considering that he gave Aaron a bunch of his chips, and Aaron had trouble remembering people's names who gave him chips last episode. But
Aaron was a jerk. This guy has magic eyes. He can see the future.
Aaron felt so bad about forgetting people.
Really? He's usually jerks don't feel bad.
He's in the thread. He was like, "Oh God, I forgot you, and you gave me chips. Ah, I feel horrible."
He's a good actor.
Anyway, thank you for your question, Guard Convoy. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna come back with some what we got this week, which is gonna also be our second dose of post-BotCon what we got this week. Because we haven't heard about that stuff from GOG or Seth, and we're going to hear about it. Get ready, get set, and go! Buddy, we are back, and it's time for the 199th what we got this week, except it's not actually really that, because we didn't start doing the segment until some ways in. I forgot when. We need a WTF historian to come in and tell us when we started to do that, so we can make a big deal when the 199th one actually happens. I'm going to start off this week, because I got so many Transformers that I didn't really get any. I got 3 Arms Micron toys in a big Ami Ami box with some other stuff I'm going to talk about later. They were Skywarp, Megatron, and Soundwave. I now only have 2 Arms Micron toys left on pre-order before I can kind of hopefully forget about the line until the Jet Viacon comes out. Because every single reason to like or even possibly get anything out of Arms Micron has slowly been drained away from it, as all those Microns that I thought were really cool are being sold for $7 on their own in slightly different colors. So I was still into this stuff because I was like, well, hey, Skywarp's neat on his own, so he's kind of cool. Megatron, I'm gonna get the Lugnut Micron, and with Soundwave, I'm gonna get the Scorponok Tentacle Micron, and I could just get those elsewhere. So yeah, I haven't opened them up yet because I want to do V build things for all of them, and I'm still figuring out how I'm gonna do my new V build setup with the live aspect. So I'll open them sometime, but that was a regretful series of pre-orders that are now primarily out of the way. And the next two are kind of exciting because one is Knockout and Breakdown, and maybe I'll get Breakdown first from Arms Micron, and maybe Arms Micron Knockout will outright lack a lot of the more damaging paint apps he has that look better when they're replaced anyway. So we'll see. That is also it for me in Transform. Oh, no, wait. I keep forgetting I got this guy, and he's really cool. And I'm so used to having the mold that I forget that I got him. In the same box was also Axelon. Ami Ami very briefly had Axelon back for their discounted from retail price, and so I got him, and I think he's really cool. His paint apps and paint scheme are completely different from any other version of that mold's paint apps or paint schemes before. He's called Autobot Spaceship Axelon, which is kind of cool in a goofy way. And I still love the Energon Sharkticon mold, so I'm happy with that toy.
I was tempted by him at BotCon.
He was expensive at BotCon, though.
Yeah, it was like $30.
Yeah, oh, okay. I only saw him for like 40 or 45. I didn't see any $30.
I saw one table that had him for 30, and I was kind of tempted, but I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I think the idea is rad, and I'll probably regret not getting him just because it's one of those oddball Transformers that you look back on and you're like, man, I wish I had that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already got the mold a couple times now.
I think it helped that, like, I liked him, but that's in part because I got him for 2,000 yen before shipping.
Yeah.
And he was part of a big box, so it was really easy to just roll all the shipping off of him and pretend I got him for 2,000 yen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, $30 I think would be a good ceiling point for him, but definitely, I mean, the thing is, if you're paying over $30 for him, you are then paying over $30 for a mold that I like, but a mold that is also very simple. And it would probably be more disappointing for $45 or even $35. Also, one weird thing, his feet are a soft rubber, and the friction between them and the hard plastic ankles was kind of weird at first until I kind of broke them in. Otherwise, though, I love the guy.
Is that different than the previous versions? Like a different type?
It felt different to me, but all my other versions of that mold are on the West Coast right now, so I couldn't compare. So I might just be misremembering. I don't recall it ever being as squidgy as it was for the first time I transformed it. It broke in really nicely, so it's fine now. But he also still has wonderful clicky joints for the rotational turrets. The mold does not feel like it's degraded at all. It feels almost like it's gotten better over time. I don't know how to explain it. I love that mold. So if you do get a chance to get Axelon for $30 or less, you should probably just do it, because if you don't like it, you'll probably really easily be able to resell that for exactly what you paid for. That is all the Transformers content that I bought this week. So, Monsieur Gogdog, what did you do Transformers-ally?
I got a bit of stuff, because there's some stuff I got at BotCon 2 that I didn't really get to talk about much that I want to briefly cover.
Mm-hmm.
But, random email on my company phone at midnight. Anyway.
That was
so
unexpected.
I got a couple things before we went to BotCon.
Mm-hmm.
I got my club run amok in the mail.
And how did yours turn out?
Oh, perfect. Yeah, he's great. So,
excellent.
Yeah. I like him. I have them both. I haven't put run amok in the box yet. I actually completely forgot about that.
I did that first.
Yeah, I know. I heard you. Didn't you mention that on 198 that you did that?
Yeah. I don't know why I like that so much, but it...
Well, no. You did that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot that that was a thing. So I need
it's
just, to.
It's an aesthetic thing
that
I really love. I don't know why.
Yeah. So, yeah, got him. He's cool. Best freebie that the club's ever done by far. Right before we went to BotCon, I was at a shopping mall in Orlando that I don't go to very often, and they have this toy store that I had forgotten was in there. I don't think I'd ever been in there. I think I had passed it a couple times. It's in an old, where a KB was when it went out of business a couple years ago, and that whole store died.
Mm-hmm.
This other kind of weird, independently owned toy store moved into its place. So I was like, I'm in here. Why not? Let's look around. And they had all sorts of just off the wall, random stuff like 90s G.I. Joe figures.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, what is this? Is this like a cleverly disguised consignment shop or like they had like some new NECA stuff. And it was just this weird mix of like toys from like the past 20 years. And so I went around and on the shelf or on the peg brand new, they had a, Beast Wars Fusor, what's his name? Buzzclaw.
Oh, really?
Is that the one that it's like the fly and the lizard?
Yeah. The like Balkan 05 troop builder. I think.
Well, was it?
Yeah. I believe Buzzclaw is the one that they used for.
Oh yeah. 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 But Buzzclaw was the mass release one though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I've never had him before. So, and he was like $10, I think.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was, but it was just weird. I'm like, so I felt the need. I'm like, even if this figure is crap, like I have to buy this out of principle. It's a brand. It's a mint unsealed card Beast Wars figure for $10 in a local store.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I bought him, and he's kind of cool. Like he's not, you know, definitely not the best Beast Wars figure that I've ever had, but like he's neat. One thing that I had noticed too is he looks. I looked it up and I can't remember their name. But there's these, they're like these sentient, fly creatures in the Metroid series, and they look eerily similar to those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you
yeah.
mean.
Yeah. So I'm gonna use that as like an enemy when I get my Figma Samus Aran sometime this summer when it comes out.
Oh, that's June, I think.
Yeah, it's really soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but, do you have one on pre-order?
I do. Cool. I'm not the biggest Metroid fan, but I do really like the game. Oddly enough, I love the Game Boy Advance Metroid games.
Yeah, they're great.
When that one went up, I was kind of like, you know, I like Samus Aran enough. Like, I didn't go for Link because I don't have the attachment, but Samus Aran, I'm close enough. And I was like, I think that I'll regret it if I miss that one.
Yeah, I'm not as huge of a Nintendo person now as I was when I was a kid, but I have a soft spot for Metroid. Like, Super Metroid is maybe my all-time favorite video game. I absolutely love that game. I saved up for that game when I was a kid and, like, mailed in. Like, this is back before internet was a thing. So, like, I mailed in, like, my pre-order payment and, like, saved up my own money for, like, three-day express mail. Like... Yeah, and so I don't know, like Super Metroid, like even though this isn't like a Super Metroid version of Samus, like
it's Samus enough for me. I think I'm so not attuned enough with Metroid that I don't notice the difference in armors. Like it looks enough like Samus to me.
Yeah, they're close enough. It's I don't think it's as big a deal as some of the fanboys make it out to be, but
yeah.
But so yeah, found him at BotCon. I actually ended up buying a souvenir figure that I didn't intend to.
Oh.
Jared had bought the Kickoff and SG Prime 2-pack, and I guess the person that he had bought it for, it turned out they only wanted the SG Prime. So he's like, hey, you want the Kickoff out of
oh,
it?
Wow.
For yeah, for at cost? And I'm like, yes, I do. Because I didn't buy that set yeah, out of principle, because I was not going to pay a dime for that SG Prime again. I didn't buy it. But I mean, for them making basically their own kind of character and just, hey, let's just redo our own character again. Like, no, I'm not going to give you money for that. So, but no, Kickoff is great. Like,
the head that they made is just so spot on to G1 kickoff that it is like they really knocked it out of the park. And it kind of bums me out that some of the other figures turned out as awful as they did. And I think the good.
Well, kickoff's new head kind of came out of nowhere as well. Like that could have easily been the Treadshot head, and I think everyone would not have blinked.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like the Flak head, like the fact that Flak got a new head as well. Like those two heads were heads that did not have to happen, and both were actually some of the best heads of their years.
And the other reason why it didn't have to happen is because Bakon had said that they were not reusing any heads in this set. Every single character, every single figure in this set was going to have a unique head. So if the Jazz mold was being used twice, that would tell you that, well, they're going to use the Jazz head at least once, right? And they didn't. Like, it was never used, except for maybe in the custom class figure, I think. Did that come with the default Jazz head?
Yeah, they used the Jazz head, but they used the spot in the middle of his forehead as his eye.
Right. But, I mean, okay, so they used it there, but, like, outside of that, like, none of the actual figures that were for sale even used the default head, which was, I think that was what really kind of blew everybody away. But, no, Kickoff he is great. I love his color scheme. I'm really starting to warm up more to that Jazz mold because I liked him as Jazz. I really did. But a lot of the other Reveal the Shield and Generations figures, I just thought that they were better, even though Jazz was a handsome figure to look at. But getting Stepper and then now Kickoff, like those, I like those two versions of that mold so much better than I did the Jazz. But no, Kickoff is great. Also at BotCon, I think I briefly mentioned it, but I finally got myself a big Convoy. I've had my eye on grabbing one at a convention since 2009. The only reason I didn't get one at 2009 was because, as everybody probably knows by now, I lost my ATM card like the day before BotCon started. So I never had access to anything in the dealer room that had cash, with the exception of, when I bought the Korean box set of JRX, the train RID train combiner. And that was because Seth loaned me $30. I paid him when I got back. but they, cause the same table that was selling the Korean JRX at BotCon 09 had Korean big convoys for
big convoy,
but we can't really finish the song without blanking most of it out.
You can try to grab a big convoy, but it'll probably grab you instead, big convoy. The song is whatever verses you could come up with. They don't.
Yeah,
all have
but you had some good ones. The best that, ones that were repeated. But so they had a sealed big convoy for $50, and I wanted it. I wanted it bad, and I couldn't do it because I didn't have any cash, and I wasn't going to borrow another $50 off Seth. So, like, every BotCon since then, I haven't seen them, or they were sold before I got to them or whatever, but I never saw any more big convoys for that price. They were always, they every year they tended to go up more and more. So, when I got to the dealer room on Friday at BotCon, I think it was Toy Arena that was selling them. But I had saw they had a Japanese Metals Rampage, and I'm like, oh, I got to get this. It was like mint and sealed box. They had two of them for $60. Like, I've always wanted a Rampage. I've just never bitten the bullet on it. I always decide that there's something else I want more, but here it is. This is the Japanese version. I'm going to go ahead and get it. And then right next to the $60 Rampage was two big convoys for $40. So this was $10 cheaper than what I had seen it at in 2009. So, and I hadn't seen it. I've never seen one at this price. I mean, yeah, you can see them online, but that's a big box.
Especially the Korean box. Korean box for him is huge.
Yeah.
So the one I got was Korean box when they first started popping up a few years ago. And it's gigantic.
Yeah.
That box.
Yeah. So,
big convoy needs a big box, big convoy.
So, but,
I mean, big convoy is $75 on BBTS right now, so.
Yeah, screw that. But, so
screw
I.
Screw that.
Yeah, so I was like, and I even asked on Twitter, I was like, so what,
who should I get? Should I get Metal's Rampage for 60 or Big Convoy for 40? And everybody's like, oh, dude. No, no, because they had one of the Rampages had like a damaged box. I think they were selling it for 50. So I was like, should I get Rampage for 50 or Big Convoy for 40? And like 19 out of 20 people said Big Convoy. Like one or two people said Rampage. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get me Big Convoy. And boy, am I glad I did, because Big Convoy is pretty stinking awesome.
I think you made the right choice.
All you ever hear about with Big Convoy is how hard he is to transform. Like, he's so hard. And I'll admit, like, the first time I did it, like, I wanted to do it without instructions. So I sat there in the room. I think it took me 45 minutes to get him into his elephant mode, just because I didn't realize, like, oh, yeah, you need to tilt the waist and you need to bend the knees this way. And, like, it just took a while, because he's got lots of shell pieces and they all line up like a puzzle. But, like, I'll admit, like, after that that first transformation, I've never really had much of a problem. Like,
that's the story for every Beast Wars Neo toy, even Mach Kick. Like, it's hard the first time, and that's when everyone goes online to write down about how hard it is, and then right afterwards, most people have no trouble with those things.
Well, there's an exception with me in that, and that's freaking Saberback. It's the most awful transformer ever made.
Which one was he?
The Stegosaurus with the flower ass.
Oh, the Incan dude.
Yep.
Inexplicable Incan man.
Yeah. He's getting that guy. If you do it over and over, I'm sure you could get a hang of it. But like, I saw that guy in a box and I'm like, man, I talk trash about this dude all the time. Let me see if I can do it. And maybe it's just all in my head. It's like, nope. I mean, I got him. I mean, it's not like it took me any huge amount of time, but it's like you go to transform him and there's just pieces and you're just like, what in the hell? And you just wiggle stuff around until it starts to somewhat resemble it. And you're like, okay, I guess it's close. But no, Saberback is horrible. But no, but what's not horrible is Big Convoy. And like, Big Convoy is awesome. Like, I thought I was going to hate that giant elephant hunk that turns into a cannon, but that cannon is huge and badass.
That cannon is great.
Yeah. And the whole, like, he was the first ever transformer that had a removable matrix. Like,
yep.
He's so awesome. So
no, that toy is fantastic. Like, when I got a Japanese one at a BotCon a long time ago, so he came in a tiny box, and I got to transform him from mammoth to robot without knowing what the robot looks like, which was a way cooler reveal.
Yeah,
but like, I hadn't touched mine for ages because he was just like, a lot of my Neo toys ended up in a drawer for a while, and then many years later, Nemesis Prime came out. I got the toy again, and I was like, man, I forgot how cool this toy was. Like, I had a newer appreciation for it. I think Ultra Mammoth will be another great entry point for a whole bunch of people who are like, I don't want that Big Convoy toy. Then they get Ultra Mammoth and they're like, oh God, this toy's good. I want every version of him.
Yeah. That a lot of people had said, like, you picked the right time to buy Big Convoy because you bought him like the day before the reveal of that's going to make everybody want to go out and pick them up now.
So yeah.
At least the cheap ones. The cheap ones are going to be scraped off the top. So, but no, Big Convoy is terrific. And if you like awesome the cool thing about Big Convoy is like, this mold is what, like, how old is this mold now? Like,
well over like 10 years old.
Well, yeah, Beast Wars came out in 96. So like, I think Beast Wars 2nd and Neo came out in like 98, 99, somewhere around there. So we're talking like 12, 13 years old. Yep. Like it blows my mind that, like, you can fiddle with it and tell that, like, just the way that the joints and stuff are designed, that it's not a modern transformer, but what it pulls off, like, the thing has like toe tilts, like ball jointed toes. So you, like, when you put him in poses and stuff, like, his feet are going to be flat, and it's stuff that toys of that generation just did not do.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really good. So no, I am absolutely pleased with my decision. So thank you everyone who convinced me to buy it, because it is one of the best Beast Wars figures I own. So yep. So the other thing that I got at BotCon were the Kabaya kits. I bought the whole wave, but I ended up selling the hotspot to Shiba Mira Prime, because he was the only one I was kind of like, eh. Like, yeah, I know he does the whole... isn't he the one that does the combination stuff with the Gaia
Cross? When the new Gaia guys come out, there will be a whole thing.
Yeah, and I just... you know, as cool as I think that is, I just...
I know I'm probably just going to end up not getting them. So,
well, now you don't have a reason to get them.
Exactly. And he wanted the hotspot. Silas wanted the hotspot because he's planning on getting them. So I was like, yeah, here. He's like, oh, dude, I'll buy that for you for $10. I'm like, okay, yeah. So that left me with the Desaurus, and War for Cybertron Prime Convoy. So I actually built both of those today. The Prime I built at the first half of this episode. But Desaurus is cool. Like, yeah, he does some parts forming and stuff, but just he does all the chest configurations that the full-sized original toy does. Because if you don't know, like, Deathsaurus is a breastmaster. But he's the only breastmaster that has two breast animals. And his chest, I'd say it's almost kind of sound wavy-ish, like, as far as he can store the dudes in his chest. Yeah. It's not a cassette door, but it is a rectangle that is in the same shape and proportions as the microcassettes. Except for the way it works is he has two breast animals. He has the eagle breast, which is, and the breast animals are basically, they have, three modes. They have an animal mode, a weapon mode, and then like chest armor mode. Think of it kind of like War for Cybertron. Think of it like Prime Soundwave, like how the laser beak drone thing just kind of sticks onto his chest, like an armor plate. Like it's the same thing. It would be exactly the same if that laser beak had a weapon mode, like a pistol. Yeah. But so the eagle breast turns into a little square, and it pushes his chest in and can sit inside. And then you can take the tiger breast and then further stick that inside, and it pushes his chest in. So then as you take the animals out, where I think in the original version, because I don't have a G1 Deathsaurus, but I think it's spring-loaded, so it would pop back out. But like you reach your finger from on his back, and you just push his chest back out. So the gimmick is there, it just doesn't have the spring load. But it's like, it's so awesome that they could have easily just say, oh, well, here's just a fake breast animal. Just plug it onto his chest, and you'll take it off when he's not using it.
Yeah.
And he kind of has that, like, because the breast animals come with his other two wave mates. The transforming tiger breast comes with Prime, and the eagle breast comes with Hotspot. And I had actually forgotten to take that out of it when I bought that to Silas, and he came to me the next day. He's like, oh, you forgot this. I'm like, oh, thank you.
You're not the only one who almost forgot about that. I saw a couple people go through that.
Yeah. So I got really lucky. Thanks, Silas. But he comes with a tiger breast that doesn't transform. So you can still stick it on there and have him like that. So if you buy him standalone, he's not really incomplete, at least aesthetically. But the transforming tiger breast that comes with Prime is better because he has like his wings flip up and he can do the little animal mode, and he's got the grip so that you can hold him in the weapon mode. So like, it's a lot of love was put into this because like all three of the breast or both of the breast animals have all three of their modes. And the eagle breast has a little peg, and he has pegs on his shoulder so he can totally pull a G1 laser beak and just have him perched on top of Deathsaurus' shoulder. So like there's just so much love put into it. I guess I could have showed you guys pictures. So I'll do that right here.
I was listening intently.
Yeah. But there's a gallery of them. So, and I'll post a link if anybody wants it in the show thread, but no, he's great. And the colors, like the blue is just this brilliant blue. Like it's the same stuff that's in Prime and Hotspot because they're all gang molded together, but compare like that combined with like the bright red stickers on his wings. Like I think the original Deathsaurus actually had like gray or silver wings, but like the way that the red stickers contrast with the blue plastic is still, the effect is still really cool. And like it has the same thing where his tail comes off and becomes like a shield and sticks onto his arm. Like it's basically G1 Deathsaurus, just really kind of simplified. But like compared to some of the other Kabaya kits I've seen, like his, like it's just like over and above like what I would have ever expected them to do with these kits. You can just tell that the guys that are making these are having so much fun. Mm-hmm. And like as I stated earlier, like while we were before we took the intermission. Like, I was sitting here building the convoy. The convoy is really impressive, too. Like, the only parts I don't really dig that much are how the shoulder armor, it just kind of pops off, and you just kind of peg it in. And I don't think the pegs are as sturdy as I would have liked. But, man, like, everything is so cool. And it's, like, this, it's not just a miniature War for Cybertron Prime. Like, even the way it transforms is, like, they took little cues and homages from the Generations Deluxe. And it's just, I don't know. Like, it is really, really neat. If you have the Generations Deluxe, you're probably not going to find anything in this that's going to be interest you, really. But unless you're, like, a Prime completist or something. But, like, I don't know. He's really cool. The vehicle mode is, I'm really, really impressed. So, I don't know. Like, the Kavaya stuff has come so far, so
I'm really pumped to build those.
Yeah, there's still two more that I want to go back and get. I need the Victory Leo, and I want to get the God Jinrai. Mm-hmm. So those are the two that I really feel like.
Super Jinrai is fantastic.
Yeah. So, was it just Super then?
Well, there was Super Jinrai, then there's a God Bomber in a separate box, but I haven't built mine yet.
And the God Bomber combines.
Yep, as far as I know.
Okay. Yeah, and otherwise, it's really nice what they did.
They shrank Super Jinrai's head just enough so that he has more anime proportions, and it really helps.
Yeah. But, no, I'm super impressed with this wave of Kabaya, and I think I've never actually pre-ordered any of the Kabaya stuff. It's always been BotCon purchases for me, but, man, like, as they come out with new waves, it's going to be harder for me to wait on these because, I don't know, they're a lot of fun, I think. But yeah, pick those up if you have the least bit of interest in that. After I got back from BotCon, my Shout Factory Master Force DVDs were here. So I got those. I haven't watched them yet, but that's awesome. And mm-hmm. Master Force is the best of the three Japanese-only G1 shows. So I really hope that people are buying that and giving it a chance if you haven't watched it. Because $20 for the entire season is a really, really good deal. At least on Amazon, they have it for that price. So, yes, everyone should watch Master Force. Going down my list. That's all of my BotCon purchases. The only other thing that I got that was, I'm going to put it in the on topic. I got it yesterday in a EMS box from AmiAmi. Is I got the Future ES Gokin Mugen Calibur, which it's basically a transforming super deformed version of a G1 Roadbuster.
I was really bummed I missed the pre-order on that.
They're not still around?
Well, okay, I only checked once, but after you and a couple people talked about, like, kind of, oh yeah, I ordered this and it's coming out soon. I was like, oh, I want to order that. And I went to AmiAmi and it was in stock. And then I was, like, not in the house. I was like, I'm going to order that when I get home. And when I got home, it was out of stock.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not that expensive, especially from... I mean, because, like, most of the stuff... Because I've never ordered anything from Future before. But, like, with me, whenever I think of Future, I think of those crazy-ass, like, $400 getters that they made a few years ago.
Yep.
And it just, like... It's, like, I would never buy one of those for any kind of price like that, but just you look at them and it's just like, wow, like those look crazy. So like that's always what I've thought of when I think of when anybody mentions Future. So like this was really affordable and it looked really cool, and like all the guys that I know who have ever bought anything of their ES Gokin line are like, yeah, like no, like the ES Gokin stuff is great, and so you can buy this without any fear of it being bad quality. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I pre-ordered it, got it. And like, yes, this dude is really awesome. Like the only it's a perfect transformation with the exception of the giant super deformed head has to pop off. And that's just what super deformed figures have to do because there's nowhere for that head to go. I mean, maybe it could have like broken apart and folded up under, but the head also lights up. Like you pop the back off and it has a battery compartment. You stick two little watch batteries in there. He's got a push button on the back of the head, and his head lights up, and it looks awesome. And you can tell by the photos that I put there, but because every one of those photos has the light turned on. But no, he is awesome. Like he comes with multiple sets of hands. He's super articulated. Like he's got ball jointed hips, thigh swivels, his ankles tilt, I think double jointed knees. If not, they bend more than 90 degrees, so it might as well be. Ball jointed shoulders, a bicep swivel, elbow joint, obviously, like full ball jointed head, and then like an extra hinge in the neck. Like, just super impressive in this little 3-inch dude. Like, his weapons are all modular, like, because they can break apart and combine into different configurations, especially depending on if you're using in robot or vehicle mode. But, like, even the way that the vehicle transforms is super impressive. Like, it's got a little flip-up windshield. The seat flips around. It comes with this tiny-ass little PVC pilot, and the amount of detail that they tampographed onto this little tiny, like, half of a centimeter tall dude is just insane. So... I think the bang for your buck for this little guy is pretty incredible. He ran
sub 5,000, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was like 3-something.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic for that price. Like, especially like just topped off with the brightness of that light inside his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm. If I see that thing for under 4,000 yen somewhere, I'll probably just go for it.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, the only complaint I might have is that, like, he doesn't roll all that well. His wheels certainly roll, but it's such a tight fit under there that I wouldn't want to roll this thing around like a toy because you're going to end up scraping something, but it's a display piece, so, you know, whatever. It's not like you're going to be rolling this thing around. I wouldn't give it to a kid, but you're probably not going to be doing that for...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, for Mami Ami, the pre-order price was 37,000 yen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally worth it from what I'm seeing. It looks like he's posable, he's transformable, and I'm amazed that the only major parts forming is pulling the head off.
That's it. Everything else is completely perfect transformation.
I'm seriously amazed by that.
Yeah. So, I'm really interested to see what Future does in this line going forward, because I've never bought any of their ES Gokin stuff, and I don't have him right in front of me. He's in the other room, I think still in my light box, but... Like, the amount of metal in him was pretty good, too. Like, he definitely feels weighty and very high quality.
I heard great things about the ES Gokin Getters, which were, like, this style for the first three Getter robots.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd missed Getter 1, and Getter 2 and 3 I was able to get at if I wanted to, but I was like, all that's going to happen is I'm going to go through hell trying to track down Getter 1, so I just stayed off and away from them. But everything I heard was that the three Getter ES Gokins were fantastic.
Yep.
So I'm unsurprised by this.
But yeah, and he's not in perfect G1 Roadbuster colors, but I'm sure that in the right hands, like, it would not be difficult at all to just repaint this guy.
Somewhere out there is a very happy Dorvac fan.
Yes. But for me, he's my little Roadbuster. I wonder if I could even get some Autobot logos and put it on there. Like, that would be
probably
cool, 'cause I have no attachment to Dorvac. Nothing against it. I thought the designs in that show were cool.
I don't know anyone with an attachment to Dorvac.
Yeah. So. But. And that's it for my on topic.
Alrighty. Seth, did you Transformer it this week?
Oh, yeah. I got all my, BotCon stuff.
Oh.
And a little bit more. So. God, as soon as I got back to work, it's just been chaos all week. So a lot of the stuff I still haven't gotten a chance to open and mess with yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's not like I was saying earlier where I would just buy things and then lose interest before I ever got around to opening them. But I don't think that's the case here. Some of the stuff I may have mentioned, in fact, one of the things I know I mentioned before, but, I'm mostly just going to be running down the list. Like, I'll interject little details, but I'm not going to pontificate too deeply on anything. So, pretty early on during the dealer room preview night thing, I was approached by a TFW member, Adam Smasher, who asked if I was still into BotCons, and I said, yeah, and then he asked if I had found any Wave 2 yet, and I said, nah. And he said, if you're interested, I will sell you Ratchet and Mirage for $4 each. And I went, yeah, that sounds like something I would be interested in. And then he apologized to me the next day because that's when Hasbro had started, like, giving stuff away at their booth.
Yeah.
And they were giving away those bot shots. And he's like, oh, I feel really bad about selling those to you. I'm like, what? Why? I don't feel bad about it. Why do you feel bad about it? He's like, oh, they're giving them away. I'm like, well, I never even knew. But I'll be all right. I wasn't upset.
Well, yeah, it meant you didn't have to go through the rigmarole of getting there in the morning to get a hold of them.
Yeah, and I had already missed out, so oh well. yeah, so you know they're basically bot shots, just Mirage and Wheeljack. The one thing that I'm concerned with is with the bot shots is maybe them starting to get a little repetitious. Because a lot of them are very similar. I think like, isn't the deal like Bumblebee and Barricade and then in turn Prowl all kind of basically the same with just a couple different shaped parts, like a different spoiler.
And but
different
Barricade and Prowl front are
bumper.
They're literally the same figure, I believe.
Yeah. They're just straight repaints. But I think like the basic underlying bit with like most of these like car guys is the same with a couple just easily changed pieces like the spoiler and bumper, and then I could be wrong, but that's what I believe my understanding was. Anyway, yeah, I'm just concerned that it could start getting into a little too much repetition if they don't keep coming up with new base molds, as it were. But in the meantime, bot shots keep on rocking.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the same table, Gog got the Korean big Gun War.
Yay.
I got Korean Magna Boss.
Magna Boss.
Magna Boss. He's the boss of the office building boss.
Yeah, and I'm completely misunderstood what you had gotten because I think I had said something about Magnatron, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm interested in him. And I think like there was a miscommunication between which figure we were referring to. So like this whole time I thought you got Magnatron or Magmatron, and I'm like, oh man, like I've never had a Magmatron. So I was wondering like what your opinion was. And then it turned out you got Magna Boss, and I'm like, oh, like never mind. So I was like eagerly waiting your opinion on a figure that it turns out you didn't even get.
Yeah. I left. And speaking of giant boxes, I left that box in Dallas because it was just too big. And just taking the three relatively little guys out freed up a lot of space in my baggage. But yeah, I know I got those names sort of twisted around too. He's interesting. Like the three individual robots. Was it Ironhide, Prowl, and Silverbolt?
Ironhard, yep.
Ironhard. Of those three, like if you just look at them as individual figures, Prowl the Lion is the only one that's any kind of good, in my opinion. The other two have kind of crappy robot modes. I mean, Silverbolt, basically just sort of unfold the arms and legs, and then he's a robot with a gigantic eagle backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wings do nothing. They're just sticking straight out. And the head does nothing. It's just sort of sticking up. And then Ironhide, he has a really good elephant mode. Like, he looks great as an elephant. He doesn't look like a robot at all.
I have a dark secret.
He just looks weird.
I have always loved Ironhide's robot mode, but I've never been able to explain why, because it is a misshapen, like it looks like he is a man made entirely out of thumbs.
Well, his head's awesome because he's like crazy looking. It's all like red with like this giant toothy mouth.
He looks unhappy with the world. But
yeah,
he looks like he's like, well, even his head looks like a thumb.
If that was your body,
yeah, his whole body is just an assembly of thumbs of varying sizes. But for some reason, I love that. I don't know why.
Right. So as I'm, and then I couldn't tell if I had the robot mode right or not, because at least the Korean instructions, just the the step-by-step drawings are so small, and there's a lot of text explaining things, but that's all in Korean, so that's not doing me any good. So I wasn't sure if I had gotten it right or not. And then I looked up some pictures, and I wasn't sure if I even matched the pictures, or if I was wrong from the pictures, or if the pictures were even right. Because it doesn't look right. Like, no matter what you do, it looks mistransformed. It's just terrible. But the elephant looks great. So there you go. But Prowl works as a standalone figure. He's the only one with a really sensible transformation. I think he's one of the better, if not one of the best, cat transformers I've ever dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just stand up the kitty, but not overly complicated. I mean, he's relatively small, so you can only do so much with him. And this is another figure. Like, I'm looking at the, I looked him up on the TF Wiki to make sure I got all the names right. And they list him as being from 1997.
Yep.
So there are those limitations, but I think Prowl standalone works. He's pretty damn good.
I like him standalone. I think that there is a good reason why in Beast Wars 2 they literally turned him into a junior Lyo Convoy called Lyo Junior and painted him to look more like Lyo Convoy. Because he works on his own.
Do they take out the third head? Is he basically has three heads: the lion face, the robot face, and the combiner face.
Oh no, in Beast Wars 2, he still is part of Magna Boss, but they painted Magna Boss's face to look more Native American. Or at least what I think the Japanese late 90s approximation of that was, which was they put tons of war paint on him.
Yeah. Well, even the Korean version, it's kind of just reddish. But I mean, just the design altogether, like the feathers from the wings on his chest and kind of the shape of his chest, like the pec ab sort of area, and the eagle kind of coming up over the top of his head. Like,
yeah,
everything has sort of a Native American-ish vibe to it. So, I mean, clearly that's what they're going for all the way, because nothing screams Native American imagery more than an elephant. or a lion. Eagle, yes. Other animals, I don't know. Replace the elephant with a buffalo and you're closer. Why didn't they do that? Anyway.
There's a buffalo, but he belches missiles.
Yeah. But then putting them all together, it's pretty complex what you go through to get it all together, because really Ironhide makes up most of everything except for the chest and head, and that's just all the other guys. And they do a really good job of all linking together. You kind of got to put everything together in the right order and make sure all the clips and pegs are clipped and pegged. But once you got them together, he's pretty much there. Like, that was one of the big concerns I had was, you know, is this kind of like you just sort of pile them up and hope they don't fall apart? That's not the case. It's pretty solid all put together.
Awesome.
He does not look as rad as the art on the front of the box, though. The proportions are not that good. which is always the thing, like, because so many times I had almost bought this thing and didn't, because I would look at the picture, the illustration on the box, and go, that dude looks amazing. And then you look on the back of the box at the actual toy and go, it doesn't look anywhere near that cool. And he doesn't, but I kind of like his, just the weirdness of it. Like, animal combiners are just weird, and there's no way around it. But you know, he's very interesting at the very least.
I mean, back in the day, I was just excited. I remember when that came out in Beast Wars, and I was like an early high school student. I was like, oh man, combiners. I remember those. Like, that just got me pumped. And I love how in the anime version, all the combiners ended up being good guys. Because the insect combiner went from being the spooky insect thing to being a bunch of Mexican insects with maracas and stuff.
Wow.
And they would say things like mucho.
Anywho, one of the bummers though with them is like the half of an elephant head hanging off each knee.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nowhere to tuck it away and kind of hide it, so that looks kind of. But he's interesting, and I think it. I paid 35, 40, whatever it was. So, it wasn't expensive.
Yeah,
and he's interesting. I don't know if I would recommend them necessarily, but they do some stuff there. I do like with Silverbolt though how you could fold down the tips of his wings and there are missile launchers hidden in there. That's kind of cool.
Mm.
But moving on. How's that for not pontificating too much?
That was unpontificatus.
Some things I didn't open were my only two Creo kits I've ever gotten, which were free because they were handing those out. So I got that Mirage and Jazz. Haven't opened them yet. Can't really comment. Apparently, the club store was blowing out Creo on Sunday. And by the time I heard about it, they were all sold out, which is a bummer because that would have been a great way to get the Shockwave Creon that I always wanted.
And I was all up for buying everything that wasn't the Creons off you out of that Megatron. I was actually kind of bummed because I have a really nicely built Creo robot Megatron back in the West Coast, and I have no idea how to get it over here without it exploding. So I wanted to just get a cheapo, like, half-price Megatron off of you and then build it here, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I get home, and I'm in Kmart, and I go down the aisle with all the brick building toys, and I'm passing the Creo section, and they have Creo marked down. Nowhere near as cheap as the club store had it marked down. And I started thinking, like, let's see if they have the Megatron and see what the markdown price is. And maybe Vangelis would still be interested in buying all the parts off me. And that was the only one they didn't have anymore. They have a hell of Starscreams and a couple, like, Sentinel Primes and a bunch of the smaller kits. But there was no Megatron to be found. And then I went, I'm probably better off anyway.
One day.
It was not going to be $15 like apparently the club store had it.
There's still a chance. The battleship Creos are all over the place now, and I was looking at them, and I think that Creo is still just one line. So battleship Creo means that Transformers Creo is just going to continue plummeting in price till it's all gone. So maybe you'll still come across that highly inexpensive Megatron.
We'll see. I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Then while we were at BotCon, actually, BotCon hadn't started yet because I went early. I got there on Tuesday. The Tuesday that I got to Dallas is when my run amok showed up. And then at BotCon, I got a overrun off Geronimus, one of those pre-order 66 thugs. So I got those dudes. Those dudes are ones that I opened up and messed with, and they are pretty fantastic. And I do really like the fact that you could put them both in the same box, because why wouldn't you want to keep them together?
Yeah.
They're meant to be together forever and always. And I think it's neat that the cutout has you put one of them in sideways so you could see them from two different angles in the box.
I love that the cutout then becomes a foam car. I don't know why I really like that, but now I have a foam car on one of my shelves.
Yeah, my first inclination was, I should throw this away. And then I started thinking, but it's shaped like a car.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to justify keeping it.
I justified it immediately because it's a foam car. I was like, this is one of the most exciting things that this company has ever made without realizing they made it. So I want it.
Yeah, I transformed them as per the instructions and then went, all right, that's done. And then did the general techno transformation so they look right.
Mm.
If they didn't, if they didn't anticipate that when they picked out that mold to use, then it is an extreme stroke of good fortune that it worked out the way it did.
Yeah.
If they did know that that was possible going into it when they chose that mold and they never publicized that you could transform it that way, I think they missed a golden opportunity. They should have
always
advertised it based on that transformation.
As soon as they announced the molds, Techno had figured that thing out and was tweeting them, he was tweeting at Botcon and the TCC, going like, hey, look at this.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this might be just another case of where they don't want to take anybody's suggestions or listen to what anybody has to say. And so there's no way they were going to be like, oh, yeah, let's go with that. Because now it's like, oh, that's some other person's idea. We can't even acknowledge it.
I could see them going, oh, we already had all the art drawn with them transforming like Trax or like Wheeljack. Small silver lining, I saw Techno on Twitter celebrating the other day in a way that I found very adorable, which was that when he typed his own name into Google, General Techno, it auto-filled in the words overrun, runabout, and runamuck afterwards.
Yeah.
So he has now become synonymous with the Battle Chargers on Google.
Yeah. No, it's just, they look so much more like the Battle Chargers with his transformation. Why would anybody not do it? Just do it. And it makes him look more different than the other figures that use that mold. It's genius. It's the way it should have always been. Anyway, off topic, or not off topic, third party stuff. Third party stuff. I have decided we're off topic now. I'm taking over. Third party stuff I got. I got the minions, which I know I talked about before, and you talked about getting a better Ravage.
Quick update. My Savage, as soon as I did that, he started to become less good, and one of his ball joints fell apart the next time I opened him up. His metal joints are still tight, which I think is the important thing, but the ball joints are very fastly deteriorating on that guy.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to do something there, and it didn't really pan out. I think they got close to something really good. They got close.
Good try. Just
didn't work. That Rat Bat is the star of that set. Then these last three things I haven't opened yet. I can't really talk too much about. Battle Tanker, got that. Storm Bombman, Thunder Shred, got those. Backfiery is sitting in a pile of loot. He will arrive after a pre-order that is supposed to be coming out this month comes in, along with something else. I have something else in that pile of loot. Oh, yeah, but that's off topic, so never mind.
I'm in the same position. I have Backfiery and Storm Bomb in a pile of loot, but I'm still waiting for that friggin' Nicholson Joker to come in at Big Bad, and they changed the date again from May to mid-May. I don't know what's going on.
You still didn't get your Insecticons yet?
They're in the pile of loot. I'm waiting for Nicholson to get there so I can just ship it all. And Nicholson was supposed to be there in April. And Sideshow got their Nicholsons even. Ichabod got his. Big Bad still hasn't got theirs. I don't know what's going on.
When did those did that come out last year now?
Yeah, no, I didn't order them last year. I ordered them during the third-party sale.
Oh.
Just recently.
Hmm.
Oh, is that a Perfect Effect RC is supposed to ship in May? So, I'm waiting to see how that goes.
I haven't pre-ordered that yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to wait for reviews or not. I want it, but
I'm becoming quite the Perfect Effect sucker. So,
you could say you have a perfect collection of Perfect Effect stuff.
Except I don't.
Oh. Damn it.
I think I have pretty much all the molds, though.
You have a perfect collection of Perfect Effect molds.
I think. Whatever. So at BotCon, like, a bunch of people are getting those newer Black King bats.
Yep.
And then, like, everyone that bought one showed me, which is fine, and then asked if I was getting one. And I was like, I already have one. And they're like, yeah, but this one's black. And I went, okay. That purple one's all right.
That thing did a couple things that I thought were cool, but at the end of the day, I was kind of like, the problem with it is that it's still King Bat. And I think that's the weakest thing Perfect Effect has done to date.
Everything about King Bat I like, except for the bat mode, which is awful.
Yeah.
But the spear mode is just tremendously gigantic and awesome. And like the spaceship mode that he has looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't look like a bat. Like hardly at all.
He should be King Spaceship. He'd be fine.
Well, and you see, that's like what I was saying about Perfect Effect stuff. Like, it's practically all original anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hardly anything about King Bat that resembles Rat Bat. Just change the head. Or just take out the whole bat mode aspect.
The bat mode is 80% afterbirth anyway. It's just like, okay, yeah. Stick all the parts together like that because they kind of work. Here, we'll put in a flip-up head, and now he's got a bat mode.
Yeah, cool spaceship that turns into, like, just this crazy-ass spear.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough. That's all my on... Oh, no, I found a Prid Soundwave, but again... I haven't had time to open them up and mess with them, but Prid Soundwave is in my possession. Oh, and it's sitting right here. Like, I have my list of stuff on my iPhone, and like, not even a quarter inch from my iPhone. I got one of the Cyberverse Viacons.
Oh, welcome to the fold!
My first and only Viacon.
How do you like him?
He's cool. I mean, I've always said I like the design. I mean, the car is all burly and awesome. And then, you know, it's just Cyberverse, so he's not all that complicated. I like how much kind of, like, flipping the whole, like, top of the car back to just to get the head in and out. Seems like a little... nice added touch. Mm-hmm. Instead of sculpting the head in the way that it would just be out of the way for car mode, they gave him that hunch and the extra step of transformation to get the head in and out. And then he has knees, which is good.
Yeah.
Just if there was some way to flip away this bit of top of car hanging off his forearms and then give him an elbow joint, he'd be even more awesome, but he's pretty damn good for this size class and what he is. It's just a very cool design.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely in no way need to troop build these guys, so I got my one. I will leave the rest for the children's so they could all have happy birthdays and Merry Christmases.
All these happy kids who are apparently going to be entirely satisfied with a Viacon.
Well, all the kids want Viacons.
That's true. That's true. That's why they're one per case. Even in Cyberverse, they're one per case.
And I got the one from this case.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad about using the word afterbirth earlier, but I'm only using it because I had just seen There Will Be Blood again, and I forgot about Daniel Day-Lewis's wonderful use of the word afterbirth in the final sequence of that film. You're just an afterbirth. It's so good.
And I drank it up.
Drainage.
I drink your afterbirth.
I told you I'd eat you. I love that line. Chasing him around. I don't want to say anything else. If you haven't seen that movie yet, you're a fool. Go see it right now. I guess let's go into our off topic then. Gog, I want to know what else came in your big ass box.
Oh, man.
I saw some pictures, and I got excited by some of that stuff.
I got two more things that came in that box, and one thing that came in a box all its own. I'll save that for last. And this is kind of on topic, or at least it's going to lead into an on topic later this year, hopefully in about 3 months, I guess now, May, June. No, 2 months. So, I got Guto Kuru Noriko Takaya from Gunbuster.
Looked awesome.
Yeah. Did I not make a set for this? I don't know. But here's some pictures, so I'll link this here. But, so, yeah. This is a very interesting figure for me for one of two reasons. For one, this is the first ever really posable Noriko figure that we've ever gotten. Besides, I think there was like a, it was like a Barbie doll style thing that was made like 20 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not really in the spirit of figures in the modern sense of the word. But, and also because I've never really had any interest or even knowledge of the existence of the Guto Kuru line until I saw this figure. And then they show the Master Force stuff. And then they show like a Motoko Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell that's coming out sometime, which we recently just saw color pictures of. So all of a sudden, like this line, like out of nowhere, is just like, huh, like I never even heard of it. They already have tons of releases, and now there's just stuff everywhere that I'm somewhat interested in. So yeah, this is a pretty damn impressive figure. And it's funny because I remember seeing pictures of this and everybody thinking like, oh, well, that's going to be basically a statue from the waist down. Like there's no way that there's hip joints there. People had the same reaction when we saw the pictures of Minerva. Like she has no hip joints. I can tell you that not only does this toy have hip joints, it has maybe some of the most impressive jointage I've ever seen on a figure ever. And I have lots of different stuff from different manufacturers. Like every joint in this is like double or triple jointed, and it's hidden so well. Like her shoulder joints. Her shoulder joint has a traditional style joint in the shoulder, but the shoulder also has this elongated stem with a ball at the end that attaches to a ball socket inside the torso about where the lungs would be, which then swivels like inside of the chest. So, but it's all like hidden, but has this exceptional range. Like the hips, the same thing. The hip has this weird, it's like a triple joint inside the hip, but you can tell from the pictures, like you can't hardly even see the seams of the parts.
It's really like, well sculpted. Like all the lines are very precise. It looks like.
Right. But inside the hip joint, which looks like a PVC figurine, is a triple hip joint. Like it can move up and down independently, like in and out, double jointed. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. Like it is really damn impressive. The ankles are double jointed, ball jointed. And even then, like, unless it's from a certain angle, you can't even see the joints. So I am really, really looking forward to more stuff from this line.
This sounds a lot like when you got when you and I both ended up getting it, but when you got the first Rio Bone, and it was kind of like this is another case of kind of getting your first look at this line, and it sounds like it's going just as well, if not better.
Yeah. Like even her, she has a waist joint that can move in any direction, and then a separate torso joint, but it's like all the lines are just done so well to where you can hardly even see the seams in some cases. Like all sorts of optional faces, a different optional colored headband, because for story reasons she changes the color of her headband like halfway through the OVA. But mm-hmm. Yeah, like I am super looking forward to what they do with Minerva and Jinrai, and I hope that these figures do well because they're a little pricey. I mean you're paying close to what you used to pay for a Masterpiece figure for basically an action figure in some cases. So a lot of American Transformers fans have trouble justifying that kind of dollar amount, especially with the, as we talked about before, the dollar to yen ratio. Some people have a really hard time swallowing that stuff, but if Minerva turns out even close, or Jinrai for that matter, if they turn out even close to the quality of this figure, the people who are willing to pay the money for it they're going to be damn impressed with what they get.
I love your photo that you put on Twitter that you said, this was me when I got my box today.
Yeah.
I think it's still my favorite photo, actually, of all. It's just the facial expression is too good.
That was me, all right. But, yeah, it's like, and you see, like you can see the one where she's sitting down.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a picture of her sitting down holding a miniature piece of key lime pie. I also kind of got that as a BotCon haul. I got this little tiny jewelry box that Krace has handed to me. And he's like, hey, man, I got nothing to say about this. This is between you and my wife. And I remember months ago, she promised me a piece of key lime pie. And I was like, I don't know how that's going to come from Vermont or wherever you live, Connecticut, like all down to Florida, but more power to you. And apparently she sculpted me a tiny little miniature piece of key lime pie that I could use in pictures.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah, I guess that's like that's what she does. Like that's her hobby, and I thought it was awesome. So I took that picture for her, but because she's also a fan of Gunbuster. But you can see there, like, see how the hips are all like out and up. Like,
yeah,
she can sit down and then have her knees like up.
Yeah,
and for a figure that you cannot even see the hip joint in any normal position that you would put her in, it's freaking impressive.
And I can totally get the minor frustration in trying to explain how it works without like just showing somebody. I really want to see one of these in hand now, because like I remember I went through a similar thing when like back in 07 when I first saw the, or oh sorry, 08 when I saw the very first SH figure art hip joint, which at the time was super revolutionary. This looks like it's a yet another step above. I really want to see how this
works. It just comes out of nowhere, because like this, like when you think of action figures, like CMs, you think of mecha, like for the most part. And even then, like they're
disappointing combining mecha, to be honest, when I think CMs.
Yeah. Like the few pieces that I have from CMs are really impressive, but that's because I researched them heavily before dropping the premium. Like one of my favorite figures of all time, their Gokin Griffin from Pat Labor, like that just awesome, menacing black robot with wings. Like, it is such an impressive toy. And just to hear that some of the other figures in that same line, or at least their offshoot lines, were just utter crap. It was just completely heartbreaking to me. And their quality just goes up and down. But, like, when CMs, when they hit it, they knock it out of the park.
Honestly, when they don't have to worry about engineering a transformation, they do great.
Yeah.
It's when they start trying to make things transform, it's like they're beating their face against a wall. I don't know.
The weird part about this line, too, is apparently, like, every once in a while, there will be a figure in this line that is like a statue. Like, literally, some of the figures in this line have no posability, or no posability from the waist down, and then they'll just drop a figure out like this, which is articulated out the frickin' ass. and it's done well, but it uses joints that I've never seen in a figure before. I mean, whoever designed this is like an action figure creating savant. Like it's all custom. It appears to be, at least, like just completely custom joints, like that in ways implemented that I've never seen. It's just, and like she comes with like two jackets, so she, like all the different clothes throughout the OVA. She comes with, and like, I don't know, it's just, it is really great. And I'd even love to see them do some of the other characters from the OVA, like, Kazumi or, Jung Freud. Like that I would buy them in a heartbeat.
Did Noriko sell out everywhere, or is she still pretty available?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
So,
stroking my chin for a potential future purchase if it's still kicking around in a month or two.
Yeah. Because I know you're probably not a huge fan as me, but I remember when you watched Gunbuster, you really liked it.
Oh, I loved it. I have no reason to avoid the figure. I just don't have as hard a draw. But like, this is one of those toys, like especially where it's like, it's just, if the stars align properly, like I would try to figure out a way to get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. But yeah, I don't want to go into too much. But what surprised me too is like, because I can understand the price tag on this. She's still in stock in AmiAmi right now.
Oh.
But But like, and I think that was one of the pleasant surprises, like with Minerva, because when Minerva came out, like I think a lot of us thought she was going to be super expensive because, like all the like the headmaster unit and stuff on her back, having the transforming face, and it's just like, oh man, they're going the extra mile with this. She's probably going to be more, and she was actually like,
she was 6,000 something. I remember.
Yeah, she was like 20,000 yen cheaper.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like,
oh man, there's already pre-owned ones on here too.
Oh, I didn't even know Ami Ami was doing that.
It's only recently. It very rarely comes up in the listings I see. By the way, the ES Gokin Mugen Calibur from Dorvac is on Ami Ami, but it's on back order.
Well, now that it's been talked about, they're all going to sell out, so you better just get it now, Angelus, instead of waiting. You better just get it now. You should just get it now.
But and she also I have to say, she also comes with... And the picture, well, my picture looks better than the one on Ami Ami, but
my picture looks better.
Well, I mean, the crossed arm pose, like whoever did the pose on the Ami Ami page, they didn't.
Whoever did the pose was a CM's photographer, and CM sometimes has weak points. And...
Yeah, but she comes with special hands just for doing the famous Gunbuster pose, and she does it pretty well.
So. Excellent. Oh wow, whoever did that's not how you cross your arms.
Yeah.
That looks awful. Yeah, I saw yours. Yours looks way better.
Yeah. So,
Evangelist, you should just get it and then do a video on how to cross the arms, right?
Will I be guaranteed to make back the cost of the figure on my video of crossing her arms?
I don't know. Yes. You're the one.
I will pimp the hell out of
you. You're the big internet star. You're
whoa.
If I'm lucky, one of my videos might get a dollar.
You got
Mr. Moneybags.
More front page coverage than I got all year.
Well, I'm not making you do Bugman videos.
I'm not making you not do more pinball videos.
You're not helping.
Maybe I'm trying to. I'm inspiring you. I'm trying to tell you, go buy a Stern pinball machine and make 3 videos about it, and you're going to be rich.
Yeah. You're not rich.
What's a Stern pinball machine cost? What, $100? $200? I know it costs more than that.
But you didn't want to leave yourself open.
I knew.
Ignorant
the
about
moment
how
I said that, there's some guy running to the thread.
You're stupid, Evangelist on Twitter. You got $100. It's more like $1,500.
$1,500?
Half of $1,000 on top of $1,000, stupid dumb. Or you don't even know what dollars are because you're Canadian. There's 1,500 loonies.
I'd want to ask that guy what he thinks $500 is in numbers.
It's 500, stupid. It's half of 1,000. 1,500 is 1,500. Stupid. I guess they don't have schools in Canada.
I'm in the wrong state of mind. I want to talk to this gentleman all day.
Anyway.
How does that even happen?
Maybe if I go into Grassy High School shows, you'll interview me.
Friggin' sellout.
Yeah, I was in Evangelist when he was cool.
That's before he talked to Degrassi.
Anyway.
Let's get back on the show.
But no, if you are a fan of Gunbuster and you have any interest in this, get it before it's gone, because I think this is one of those things that's going to be hard to get later and it's going to be really pricey.
It's Gainax, too.
Yeah. So, okay. Also, okay, so in that box was the Mugen Calibur, there was Noriko Takaya, and then there was something else that was... really, that I had been anticipating for a long time, and that is the Bandai D-Arts Persona 3 Thanatos figure, which is the second of the Persona D-Arts that they've done. The first one they did was Izanagi. I had talked about that. That's from Persona 4. It turned out pretty good, but there were some issues with the quality, like the head on a very large amount of them was very floppy. Some of the joints were kind of loose and couldn't hold the weapon in a certain position, especially if you had the effects parts attached. And while I tended to like the figure quite a bit, it was certainly flawed. And Thanatos fixes all that beautifully. All the joints on this are super tight. The head is terrific. This figure, because what this is it's basically, and I've talked about Persona before, but with Persona, you kind of summon parts of, the characters can summon parts of their inner conscience, or conscious, if you will, as almost like avatars. And this is one that is very important to the plot of Persona 3, which I won't give away, and everybody should play that game, especially because it's $10 on PSN.
I love the floating coffin things around his back. Well, that alone has made me almost order that toy.
All the personas belong to classes called Arcana, and all the Arcana are linked to the Arcanas of tarot cards. And Thanatos, you know, being the god of death, is of the death Arcana. And so he has, like, this ring of coffins that floats around him. So in order to emulate that, they did something similar to what they did with Reveltech Anubis, who had kind of the same thing on his back, except for they were like robo pylons. And that he has the stand clips into his back, and then there's also like this invisible ring, not invisible, but clear plastic, where all the coffins are attached via ball joints, and they are all individually posable. The difference between Thanatos and Anubis is he doesn't have Reveltech joints that are extremely finicky. It is done absolutely beautifully. Like, all the ball joints on the coffins are super tight. They're so easy to pose. They completely hold their position. You don't have to worry about getting the right clicks on the Reveltech joints. This is an absolutely beautiful figure. If you are a fan of Persona 3, like, this is a must-have piece of merchandise. This is just absolutely gorgeous. Obviously, the figure can't stand without the stand because, well, it has no feet. But that's just his design. But the way the stand is implemented, like all the arms on the or at least the base, the one at the base of the stand is a ratchet, and it turns out really well. But he comes with like the his scabbard for his sword attaches to his hip on a little ball joint, so it's posable. The sword doesn't actually go in the scabbard, but it has a handle that goes in. So if you want to have it sheathed, it can be sheathed. Mm. But they didn't compromise on the sword to make it fit in there. But no, like it. This is absolutely a terrific figure, and all the coffins are connected like around the inside top by a metal chain, and the metal chain is just, it is perfectly implemented. So like if you're posing the coffins, because the coffins will rotate in and out, and it'll pull and push like slack on the chain. But if you had like a little bit too much slack on one side, cause it's supposed to be even, the way the chain just flows through, it's super smooth. You just simply pull on one side and it just pulls it right out. Like there's nothing like finicky or fiddly about this at all, but just looking at it, especially if you had like the Reveltech Anubis, like you're just like, man, this is going to be a nightmare to get in the pose that you want it. And it is not, it is just, it is so, so good. Like, so I don't know. At this point, there's nothing more for me to say other than that. Like, if you are a fan of the games, like, This is a must-have figure. If you were disappointed with the Izanagi or a little worried about the quality control, like, I can only speak for the one I have, but it is far and away better. Like, all the problems with that release are completely non-existent in this, despite having much more fiddly bits and potential things that could go wrong. So
I remember back when I was first talking about Fig Arts, and we were like back in like 08, when we were like, oh, if only that line would go into other properties somehow. And I know D Arts is not necessarily Fig Arts, but hearing all this feels like a perfect, like, few years later end cap to that conversation, because it sounds like that is a fantastic piece for anyone who's a fan of that series. Like,
yeah.
And it sounds like all the things I love about Fig Arts, just like, you know, smooth ball joints, really good attention to detail. And you know, I love Reveltech, but as soon as companies start to do just tight, smooth ball joints, the Reveltech system has started to show its age.
I agree. And I was a huge fan of Reveltech. And I've kind of fallen out of love with it, I have to say, just because the other companies are doing things better. I think Kyoto, they make some great stuff, but in the end, with the increasing prices of their figures, I think the one weak link is their joint system, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a real bummer because I love the concept of those joints.
So I'd like to see them update their joint system, like, and that would be easy for them to do because it's all modular, like it's 3mm pegs.
Yeah, just increase the number of clicks.
Right, so they could just make a new Reveltech joint that is better, and it's not, you know, it's 5 or 6 years old. And put it in place and continue to make figures the same way they always have.
You could even sell packs of those joints and people would probably buy them to upgrade their existing figures.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I'd do that for at least like 5 or 6 of mine.
Yep. But yes, Thanatos is amazing. And he's probably going to be even more popular because he's one of the personas that one of the characters use in the upcoming Persona Arena fighting game that's coming out this summer. So if you want him, get him. Well, you can. And last but not least, days ago, I got a box. It was a really big box. It was bigger kind of than what I expected. Inside that box was the Aperture Science handheld portal device by NECA.
So jealous of you right now.
Yeah. So let's see.
Oh, God. There's portals everywhere.
Yeah, this thing is pretty awesome. I'm super glad that I got in on the pre-order because right now on eBay, they're going for about a minimum of $400, and I've seen some sell up to $1,000 on eBay. Oh, just in the last 3 days.
And that's really slaughtered my hopes that I might still find one kicking around in Toronto, because Toronto is like the biggest city in Canada.
Yeah.
And I have a bit of a story I'll tell after you're done talking about it of me trying to get a pre-order in. Between BotCon and between Nika finally releasing info on Canadian retailers and how that all went down, it didn't work out for me very well.
That's a shame. Yeah. I'll talk to you about that too, because I've got my own input on that, or opinion at least. This thing is pretty cool. The retail price after shipping was about $140. I think that they sold it for $125, and then it was like $15 shipping, which understandable given the size of the box. It was really big. For one of a kind collectible like this, that who knows if anything like this would ever be created ever again. It absolutely worth it. The quality is great, and it doesn't feel like something that was made by say like. A company like Weta, I don't know how you pronounce that, but they do like movie replicas, but like you're talking multiple hundreds of dollars. It doesn't feel like something worthy of a high price tag like that. At the same time, this is definitely not, it doesn't feel like something that you would buy like for $20, like Optimus Prime electronic blaster. Like it feels like it is worth the money that I paid for it. Has a three-way selector switch. The middle position is off. You switch it up and it illuminates orange. And then you switch it down and it illuminates blue. I'm pretty sure, and I still haven't compared it to the game, but I'm pretty sure that they took sounds directly out of the game. And the trigger pulls for the orange and the blue portals they sound unique. And I think there's 3 different ones for each. So as you pull the trigger in orange mode, it'll cycle through 3 different like portal sounds. One thing that really surprised me, in a nice way was that when you pull the trigger continuously, it doesn't have that cheap effect of it canceling the previous effect. So, like, as you're rapid pulling them, the sounds in the background will continue to play through. So it actually sounds like multiple portals are being fired and are shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really neat thing, because a lot of times with electronics, when you keep pushing buttons, it stops it, halts it in its tracks, and just plays the new sound.
It's almost like this thing can multitask.
Yes, exactly. So the sound on it is, it's pretty good. Like, it's nice and loud. Like, it has maybe a slight tinniness to it, but it's very loud, especially if you're indoors. Like, it's not, like, they didn't really hold back, I don't think, when it came to, like, the speaker. Like, they didn't just use, like, a cheap speaker. It's enough to it feels hefty, the sound that comes out of it. The light is really nice and bright. Like, especially if you're indoors and it's, like, there's not a lot of lights on, like, this thing will light the room up. It's really cool.
Awesome.
The finger things on the front are articulated in two different spots at the base and then, like, the mid knuckle. And at the right where the mid knuckle is, it also has on each of the three fingers, it has a red LED. So they light up as well, and they're really bright. So the plastic quality feels really good. It doesn't rattle if you shake it, but it does have a kind of a bit of a creakiness where some of the plastic meets the plastic. So if you shake it really hard, like, you'll hear a little bit of a plastic rub, but it doesn't really, I don't think it's a negative. You're not going to be twirling this thing around like a toy. But no, like, overall, like, I'm super pleased with it. I don't really know what else to say. It's just one of those things where if you don't own one, like, if you have a friend, like, definitely, like, try to, or if you see one in person, like, pick it up and mess with it, because it's neat.
Yeah. Well, let me just throw down why I don't have one secured. Is okay. This is not going to be a I hate NECA story, because this is entirely my fault. Basically, NECA put up a blog post where they finally said, hey, we have Canadian retailers. So I was, all right, cool. So I go on their blog. They have, like, three websites listed. I visit all three websites. None of them have the portal gun listed on their website anywhere. So I'm like, okay. So I look at what these websites are for. They're for places that all have storefronts. So I'm like, all right, I guess it's just the storefronts then, and they're not going to put them online. Everyone starts suddenly getting the portal guns over the last week. I'm like, oh, I should go check those listings again. Almost all those websites suddenly have a sold out listing and going like, we don't know if we're going to get these again, but we sold out of our allotment of, like, however many we had. So I was sitting there going like, man. So, like, I checked early and I checked too early. Then BotCon happened and I wasn't thinking about it. Then I got home and then checked too late. So I checked twice, but I missed the window. So I'm still thinking there's a chance I might see one in the wild in Canadian retail, given the number of Canadian retailers that were involved. I think there's five or six total. But right now, I think I'm just going to be holding out for the... didn't Nika post a quote saying something like, we're thinking about all the fans who missed out, and that's all they said? Something along those lines. I saw someone talking about that on Twitter. I'm not sure if that was hearsay or if that came from an official byline. But
the only thing that I've heard is I keep hearing people talk about the multiplayer guns,
yeah.
Because the portal guns, when you play in multiplayer, you have a different color scheme than the orange and blue,
yeah.
of the single player one. And I keep hearing people say, like, oh, I'm going to buy the multiplayer one. So I actually don't know if a multiplayer one was officially announced, but
yeah, nothing officially announced has happened, okay. So far, I think.
Okay. But I keep hearing people talk about it, so...
There's been buzz of, basically, if you just want a portal gun, you're not entirely out of luck yet.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, like, all right, well, the next one that comes up, I'll try to pay even more attention when it comes out. Like, it's kind of like with a 3A drop, where if you don't really pay attention, it'll just kind of fly right by. And
yeah.
the only question I ask is... I really think they could have probably made 10,000 units and still moved that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where some stuff happened behind closed doors and we're never going to know the truth. Because I'll go into backstory for people who don't know. I had one on pre-order from BBTS. I was one of the first ones, like, day one did it. And I was lucky because a few days later, the pre-orders on BBTS completely sold out. Then
some stuff started hitting some websites saying that the Portal gun was potentially canceled, and it was the fault of the retailers for taking too many pre-orders from NECA. And the way it was worded almost was like, well, NECA wasn't supposed to put up pre-orders yet, and so they may not even be allowed to sell it because of Valve. Like, there was just all sorts of speculation going around. And then NECA released a press statement later that day saying, no, no, it's still coming out. It's just been, the demand is crazy, and we're trying to figure out the best way to distribute this, and people weren't supposed to put up pre-orders yet, and we'll be figuring out what's happening. So, like, a few weeks after that, BBTS sends out an email to everyone who had pre-ordered it saying, we have to cancel your order. We're sorry, but here's the story. And apparently, BBTS had sent NECA a letter or an email saying, hey, we want to know if you can give us any information about the Portal gun, because we would like to put a pre-order up, and if you can give us any information, then that would be great. A representative from NECA sent BBTS a solicitation information, and in response to BBTS saying, we want to put up a pre-order, can we have information so we can put our pre-order up, NECA then provided the information to BBTS. After BBTS had taken pre-orders for many days, weeks had gone by, NECA then told BBTS and any other retailer that had taken pre-orders that they had not been authorized to do so, and because of their taking pre-orders and without being authorized and been given any official permission to do so, they were going to be quote-unquote punished, and they were no longer going to receive any Portal guns, period.
Which was crazy.
I maintain
that was insane. And like you said, something happened behind closed doors we're never going to know about, and the end result is NECA looked awful that week.
Yeah. And so I don't know. Yeah, there was obviously a miscommunication somewhere, but I mean, BBTS seemed very apologetic, but from their side of the story, it sounds like there was a miscommunication somewhere, but it was not their fault. And NECA is a company that had a reputation for years of being very forthcoming on their Twitter account. You can ask them basically anything, and if they can't answer it, they'll tell you they can't, but usually they will give you some bit of information that will give you a clue as to what happened. And NECA did not respond to anyone. And so that in itself made them look even worse, because they are the company that communicates with the fans directly, always have, and they still...
Something really weird went on that week, and yeah. I am hoping that that's the last time we see something like that happen again,
yeah,
because that was... To cut off Big Bad Toy Store, like, I'm not trying to say Big Bad Toy Store is the king of retailers, but they're a big retailer with an obscenely loyal customer base.
Yeah.
And to basically bite your thumb at Big Bad Toy Store, even if you're NECA, I was sitting there, I literally said on Twitter, like, is this, like, retail suicide? Like, to get on the bad side of that customer base? Like, clearly, it all worked out in the end, but... In that week, I was just sitting there rubbing my chin, just going like, yeah. What happened?
But the whole thing kind of led into this near debacle of pre-orders, like, going up and, like, but only being announced, like, a few a day. So it's like a pre-order would be announced, like, three stores. Okay, within hours, they're sold out. The next day, we're going to announce some more pre-orders. They're sold out. And it was just... Like, instead of just giving everybody all their options up front, it's like they're trickling them down, but it's almost like it's giving the scalpers, like, time to scoop them all up. Like, if you put out a product one at a time, like, the chances of people getting it who really want it are next to none. And I was kind of perturbed, too, because the only ones that had been announced was, like, a couple of, like, weird large-scale comic shops with an online storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so I kind of paid extra to get from them.
Almost every Canadian retailer was a comic shop.
Yeah, and, well, the same in America. But then all of a sudden, inexplicably, Amazon.com gets it. And I'm like, well, if I would have known Amazon was getting it, I could have pre-ordered from them from day one and then used my Amazon Prime membership and gotten free shipping. So it would have cost me $15 less. And so you didn't know day one that Amazon was going to carry it? It was really strange. And apparently, they're still off... Like, the European
distributors haven't even been announced yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's still shipments that are going to go out for the people who live in Europe, and they're still waiting to know who's going to carry it.
Like, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're just basically releasing the information as soon as they have it confirmed.
Yeah.
But this is still just really weird.
Well, it's causing problems for people like you because, and then some of the stores aren't, they decided that they weren't going to take pre-orders. So, like, I think Entertainment Earth did that. Like, they're going to wait until they get all their stock in, and then they're just going to open it up and first come, first serve until they're sold out. And then it's the listing is going to be closed.
And for one of the most popular video game franchises outside of the core gamer audience, as far as I'm aware, I just don't get the whole approach. It just seems so weird. I'm like, this seems like it would be such a safe product to release. Like, there is a huge audience sitting there waiting for it. There are people who have, like, there's hundreds of DIY portal gun videos all over YouTube. Like it feels like it should be able to print money, but
yeah,
it's releasing like an art toy almost. I'm like,
and
really?
And I agree with you that I think they could have gotten away with 5,000, but now, like, to all the people that have bought it, they've stated that this is going to be a collector's item limited to 5,000 pieces. And so to kind of, if they were to say, and I have no problem with them releasing more because I don't intend to sell mine unless maybe all of a sudden I lose my job and, you know, I happen to break my leg so I couldn't get a new one if I wanted to. And now I have to find emergency ways to feed myself. Then by all means, I will try to sell this for $1,000. But outside of something like that happened, I intend to keep this forever. So I have no problem if they were to release more, but I can understand after making the statement. Well,
they made the statements. Now they're going to shoot themselves in the foot.
Release more, they're going to piss people off unless they in a new package or make a minor change to it or something.
I just don't get why they went for this 5,000 thing. Unless, like, their whole plan is like they're going to mass release it with a potato accessory or something. But I'm like, the whole thing is weird. That whole aspect of it.
That reminds me, and I haven't gotten it yet, but in my pile of loot is the that ThinkGeek potatoes kit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So I didn't even think about doing that with my portal gun. So when I finally ship my pile of loot from BBTS after I get a few more things in it, I'm going to have to somehow mount that to my portal gun. But to anyone who got it, congratulations. Yes. If you don't and you are seriously still looking to acquire one, I wish you the best of luck because outside of sheer luck or the most generous Samaritan on the planet, you're going to be paying an obscene premium.
At this point, if I see one for like $250, I might just do it.
You better.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the minimum eBay price is double that right now.
Yeah.
I've seen completed listings go for over $900 in the past 3 days.
That's because a lot of people love Portal who do not play other video games or do not even collect toys. They have the fun money to just blast, like, what we would spend in a year on that one thing and have it work with the way that they run their lives.
Yeah. Oh, it has come down. Like, so here's some on completed right now that ended today. 365, 380, 350.
This feels like BotCon.
Yeah, I know. So they are reaching down to between consistently at about 380. One sold for 300 even. That's the cheapest one I've seen.
Wow.
So, but the guy still made double.
I can pull it off.
Yeah. So who knows? But good luck. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Sucks. We'll see. I'm not heartbroken about it because at the end of the day, I'm like, I love Portal and I think that gun is cool, but it's not like a grail for me like it is for some other people.
Yeah.
So I can live with it if I don't get a hold of it, but I certainly would not mind getting a hold of it.
Yeah. I wish that it was easier to transport because I'd love to bring it up to TFCon and have everybody mess with it. But there's no way I can travel with something that big.
I'm sure someone at TFCon will have it. Silver Snail got them. I never ended up, like, I saw Silver Snail got them, which means that they were storefront. So I never ended up going to check. But if Silver Snail got it, I'm sure someone going to TFCon will have
one. If you live in the Toronto area and you're going to TFCon, bring it because you will, like, especially to Bar Night.
Yeah. I'll bring MP10, all right? You can play with Masterpiece Prime.
So
don't take your toys to Barnite. Come on.
Well, this is a portal gun. It's not a toy. It's an adult collectible.
Well, yeah. He's talking about bringing MP10.
MP10 is an adult collectible. It costs $300. It's actually more expensive than a portal gun, so suck it.
Yeah. Well, not now.
I feel a little bad about not getting in on that pre-order, but I'll live without it. But, man, it looks awesome. And then if they do the multiplayer guns, I mean, is anybody really going to want, like, the other colored lights? You would want the orange and the blue.
You don't I'm want sure.
the purple and different shade of blue.
I'm sure the moment those come out, someone will figure out a way to mod orange and blue LEDs in there, like, day one.
Hmm.
Maybe.
But that, after all that, that is the end of my off topic.
All right. Seth, what did you get that was not on topic?
Oh, I got a few things. Let me get my notes back open.
Ba-da-bop.
I think these were all at... Yeah, I got all these at, or in Dallas, not all at BotCon. So, Wednesday, before everybody else showed up, I was hanging out with Boardwise. And he had printed out directions to a couple comic book stores in the Dallas area. So we bought our $4 day pass for the Dallas transit system and jumped on a bus and headed off to one far-flung corner of the city. That was a really nice area. It kind of had like the it's like the trendy kind of hipster bohemian corner of Dallas probably. And like they had like the cool coffee shop and like the cool funky little store that sold like weird bottles of soda that wasn't open yet because it was really early when we got there. And we went right to the address that he printed out for the comic book store, and it was not a comic book store. There was no comic book store around there. From what we were able to kind of figure out was that there was a short film titled Comic Book Store at that location. Mm-hmm. And we had gone to the location that this short film was shot. So there was no comic book store there. So we got back on the bus and we headed all the way back the other way across town to like the most bland 4-lane road, like big thoroughfare road lined with chain restaurants and just nothing cool or interesting looking. Just everything was gray and concrete. Like it couldn't have been the polar opposite sort of a location where there actually was a comic book store. And, you know, it was hot and kind of humid and it was kind of a hassle to get there. And where Boardwise was buying all kinds of trade paperbacks and comics and whatnot, I wasn't really looking too hard. But I kind of wanted to get something for all the trouble we went through. So I got my first ever Bear Brick. Mm-hmm. Because they actually had quite a lot of different blind packed things. But like the dunnies they had were like all Mexican Day of the Dead themed. And I just wasn't really feeling interested in that. And then they had some other like kind of artist design ones that didn't really tickle my fancy. And the Bear Bricks weren't that expensive, so I got one of those. And the color scheme I ended up with was actually Sega licensed Sonic the Hedgehog colored. So that was kind of neat. although there was one option, like because they show like all the possibilities on the side of the box and your percent chance of getting it. One of the higher percent chance ones was just called Jelly Bean. That looked kind of cool, but I got Sonic. Sonic the bear, I guess. we went to that mall that day. Or what was that, the next day? Thursday? While you were still in Canada, we were at the mall. And there I got a couple blind packed Marvel Mega Bloks, mm-hmm, figures, which I still haven't opened yet. I want to videotape opening those. So I'm still waiting to open those. Got a couple of those. I also got a Lego minifig there. I can't remember the wave. It was 5 or 6. But the only one that I would have wanted was the sumo wrestler, who comes with a tiny little minifig trophy. And TFW moderator Oreo was with us, and he had the app on his phone that has all the UPC numbers and bump codes and all that. And him and I had spent quite a long time going through all the packs until we found what we were pretty sure was the sumo wrestler. And then I opened them up after getting home for like a week and tweeted them like, great success, because it was the sumo wrestler. So I got the sumo wrestler, little Lego Man sumo wrestler. Then on the BotCon show floor, I got the Figuarts Vegeta from Dragon Ball. My only real gripe with him is I would have just as soon had black-haired Vegeta instead of yellow Super Saiyan-haired Vegeta. But that's my first figure, and they do a lot of stuff really well. Like, just one little detail that I'm going to call out that I thought was neat was the articulation in his hips. You could kind of like pull the leg out and down, which gives him a wider range of motion. But with it pushed up and tucked in, when you just have him in standing poses, looks really good. So I just like that little extra little pull and to get you more range without making the standing just relaxed leg pose lesser. So, Vegeta is good. And then one of those much regaled and reviled and disdained Reveltech figures that you guys hate so much now because they're so primitive and lame. I got a...
I feel that's slightly mischaracterizing the color of our previous tone.
I don't know, that's the way I heard it. I'm sure all the listeners will agree. I'm positive. I got Edward Ulrich from Full Metal Alchemist.
Ooh.
And he's good. I mean, and I do agree. Like, there are, because of the whole Reveltech joint thing, and the joints are what make the whole deal, and so the joints have to exist even when they kind of break up lines and whatnot. I thought they did a pretty damn good job with Edward. You get multiple faces, including like the ridiculous, exaggerated, mad face for like if somebody refers to him as being short or whatever, and then you could have him spaz out. So I very quickly put that head on Vegeta and tweeted a picture that I called Full Saiyan Alchemist, and nobody really replied to it. So the joke fell completely flat. And oh, well, I tried.
I'll go reply to it tonight.
If you can find it, it was days ago.
Take it. Hey, that was funny.
The other thing I have in my pile of loot that was off topic, so I didn't mention it then, was Alphonse Ulrich. So I will have the brothers eventually, because what's the point of getting one without the other?
Mm-hmm.
And where Yamaguchi was tweeting pictures of Edward with the prototype Iron Man suit, which was all silver as a stand-in for Al for a while. I don't have that Iron Man, so I can't use him as a stand-in. So, then after getting home, I found the current wave of Lego minifigures at 7-Eleven, at Kmart, and I went kind of bananas, and in two trips ended up buying 15 of them.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I didn't get, and that didn't even get me everything in the wave because I ended up with a bunch of doubles, which is kind of a bummer, but what are you going to do? I never found the Bagpiper or the Space Marine, which are both pretty awesome.
I just want the Space Marine. I just want the Space Marine.
Well, board member Noise Maze is apparently a savant at bag feeling and has like eight of them. Like, he can find anything he wants just by like squeezing the bag for a while. It's ridiculous. I'm not as talented, nowhere near as talented, but like some of the standouts, like the Tarzan kind of guy, like who cares about him, but he comes with this awesome little monkey, which I tweeted a couple pictures of earlier tonight. The monkey's completely unposable, but it's still kind of rad. They got like King Neptune, who is like a big fish. Like he's like a merman king kind of dude. I don't even know if it's supposed to be Neptune. This is a merman king dude. I've ended up now with four Black Knights, which is not what I was going for, but at least if I had to end up with four of something, at least Black Knights are cool.
You have a squad.
I got the rabbit dude, which is ridiculous. and then looked even cooler when I replaced like the kind of friendly smiling face that Rabbit Dude comes with one of the mean red-eyed faces from Black Knight. And then made him hold the big giant carrot in a more threatening manner. I got the hippie dude, I got the bride, the Viking woman, which is cool. I can't remember all of them now. I got doubles of the Incan, or maybe he's Mayan. I can't tell. I did a video when I opened the 10 I got on my first trip. So I'll edit that video together eventually and throw that up on the YouTube. And then I'm sure Vangelis will find a better video.
There are no better videos.
Better video.
Not for that. No. There are Stern pinball enthusiasts whose work I do want to highlight, but there are no better Lego minifig opening videos that I'm aware of.
Backpedal. You're backpedaling.
I'm pedaling sideways, not backwards.
Yeah.
You're going to be rich.
You're going to be rich.
Yeah.
Your face is rich.
Thank you.
1,007 rich. That's how rich you are.
Another half of a thousand and a half of a thousand.
Yeah. And another quarter. Glow in the dark dinosaur quarters, stupid Canada. Think you're so cool.
I still haven't seen those anywhere.
Stupid Canada making stupider Iceland. You're gonna have your monies. Stupid.
Oh man.
I think that's it though.
Okay.
But yeah. Is Iceland gonna have Canadian money, or is that just something they were thinking of? Then was Canada like, why don't you get away from our money?
Look, guys. No way. I don't know. I haven't.
You guys are cool and all. We like you as a friend, but not that much.
Don't come and crash at our apartment or anything.
Ask Bima.
I should.
Yeah, we could do that. Go straight to a Icelandian.
Right to the source. Norwegian Iceland money. I got some off-topic stuff.
Oh, tell us about it.
And first two things I want to talk about are actually things I forgot to mention from BotCon, because I was in such a rush last week. That was horrible. First up, I got the Gift of Glyos from Stan, Nurse Midnight on Twitter, and Trent, the Rainer, on Twitter. Nurse Midnight had gotten Piaw's bag of Glyos leftovers, and I bought a whole bunch of that stuff off of him, as did some other people. He still had some leftovers, so he just gave them to me in a plastic bag. So it was a clear Gobon and two colored clear Traveler dudes. That was really cool. And then Trent gave me something that I'd actually... It was one of my minor Glyos grails. Back when the Shockwave-colored robots came out in the metallic purple with yellow paint apps, I had missed out on the Gobon, and so Trent didn't want one that he had, so he gave me a Shockwave-colored Gobon, which is kind of like the best of both worlds. So now I have a Shockwave Gobon, and it's really lovely. So many thanks to those guys for as I said, giving the gift of Glaios, one of the nicest and most durable gifts you can give. Also, the very last negative 1 minute of BotCon, like after they closed up and I just kind of refused to leave the dealer room because they were telling us to, I was sitting there going like, I want to buy something for $5 and I can't find anything. Then Alfie came over and said, do you want a photo for $3? And I said, okay. So I got this really cool photo from inside an abandoned building that Alfie had taken, and I paid $3 for it because it looked really cool. And thus I had accomplished my goal and gotten a really cool picture. So thank you, Alfie. What else did I do? Oh, before BotCon, I ordered a Masters of the Universe Classics figure for the first time in forever. And I spent a while hemming and hawing on it, then I kind of decided to do it, and I'm really happy I did. I actually got two figures, because I need to get two figures from them, or the shipping is stupid. So the one I got that I haven't opened yet is Manny Faces, because he was the one that they had, and I think Manny Faces has a goofy design, and I kind of like it. But the new figure was Drago Man, who is the very first Masters of the Universe Classics figure to not be based on an existing character. Drago Man is entirely new. He's entirely designed by the Four Horsemen. And if you're at all a fan of their Gothitropolis stuff, I feel like, or not even Gothitropolis, but just that whole line that Four Horsemen do of like those animal people and whatnot and all the original designs, I feel Drago Man kind of fits in really well with that idea. And I think he looks fantastic. He's huge. He's basically a Masters of the Universe Classics body, but with like really well done pieces attached all over it. And all the dragon parts are amazing. The wings are jointed where they connect to his back. I just got linked a really cool Battle Beasts Digibash of the dude in yellow, which looks all right. I'm not into Battle Beasts enough to flip out over it, but that does look cool. But Drago Man is really well done. If you are someone who has enjoyed these figures but got tired of collecting them, if you see Drago Man for a decent price, I'd recommend him. I think he looks a million times better than the other new original characters they're doing, like Toy Guru's own time travel Deadpool ninja guy, Spectre or whatever. Doesn't really look all that interesting. Drago Man looks amazing, and I want Drago Man to be the bar set for new characters in Masters of the Universe that are done in this style, because I think he fits in like a glove, and he costs the same price as all the other figures, and I feel like you get way more plastic with him. You get huge wings, and you get, granted, a reused tail, but it gives him girth, and he really just sticks out on a shelf. So I'm happy with him, and I'm probably not going to go back and pick up all kinds of other He-Man toys. I really wanted the dragon guy. Although this month they are doing Slushhead and Stinkor, which are two of my favorite He-Man designs ever. So I don't know. I might get those. I'll see. I'll see how I'm feeling. I also got a big box from AmiAmi that had the Arms Micron stuff and Axelon in there. I also had some more candy toys. So I got some candy toy Go Buster robots to put together. The bummer about this is it was a box of 10. The full figure Go Buster O, made from three pieces of mechanical things, which are called Zords now in Japan, even. It's a five box thing. The case had 10, so I just assumed it would have like two Go Buster O's in it. It did not. I took a twit pick. Maybe it was a case of 12. I can't remember. I took a twit pick. The car is a standalone thing that had released a few months ago, so there were 12 in the case. I figured it would be two Go Buster O's in a spare version of the car because he's two boxes worth of parts, but instead there was one two box set of the car and the rest was nothing but the gorilla truck and the rabbit helicopter. And I thought that was kind of a bummer, but that bummer was soon availed as I want to pull up their names here. I think it was the Shio on Twitter and one Mr. Greg Lyon off Twitter. They both bought my spare gorilla truck and rabbit figures. So it was a happy ending. Fun bit of trivia for those who don't know: in this new Go Buster Sentai series, there is a gorilla themed semi truck that turns into a gorilla robot, and it's voiced by a dude who has played Optimus Primal in Japan. So there's some crazy layering of homages there for you. What else did I get in that box? I got a D-Style kit of King Jader.
Ooh,
which I haven't built yet because I only got it the other day. But it looks cool. I popped it open to take a look inside. A lot of painted parts, as with a lot of their D-style stuff. And I've got the Goldian Hammer on pre-order, and I'm waiting for them, unless they've already done it and I missed it, I'm waiting for them to put Cho Ryujin up for pre-order. This D-style stuff, it looks great for Gao Gaigar. It feels perfectly thematic. They really hit the chunk of those designs. So I'm digging it. Gog, were you getting Jader? I forgot.
God dang it. I just searched D-Style on BBTS, and they just put up a pre-order for D-Style ARX8.
Oh, the Levitain or whatever?
Levitain model kit.
I saw that on AmiAmi.
Yeah, so add to cart.
You're still going all out on D-Style?
I'm not going all out, but I like the Full Metal Panic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Full Metal Panic style bots. I've never watched any of it, but I have the Reveltex of both the Arbalest and the Levitain, and those are really good figures. And I just recently built the Arbalest right before BotCon. So he's really cool. He has a lot of extra parts and stuff, little optional parts.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to King Jader, I went to pre-order him, and his pre-orders and everything were sold out. Oh no, they got him in stock now. He's $40.
On AmiAmi or on Big Bad?
On Big Bad.
How much was he on AmiAmi? Hang on a second.
Because AmiAmi had sold out, unless they got some in. Because sometimes they cut the pre-orders off and they get more.
On AmiAmi, he was 1,730 yen.
Yeah,
he was like $20.
Well, that's the normal price, and. Yeah. All the pre-orders that BBTS has for their D-Style kits are all $17.99 because they got local distribution. But I think King Jader was one of the last ones that they got. Because
King Jader is in stock on AmiAmi for $17.30.
Okay.
I just checked. Combined with monthly order.
Can you do that for something that's in stock?
If you have an order exist, like, yeah, it'll go with your May order. You'll get an option combined with order number whatever if you have an existing May order.
Okay. I didn't know you could do that, so.
It's in their new system.
And the Goldimarg set is supposed to come out this month, too.
Yes.
I have that on sale on pre-order from BBTS because it's only $15.
Yeah.
So.
But Jader is chilling in AmiAmi.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna add him to an order with my May stuff because I have a big May order coming from them,
mm-hmm.
and I have a couple of Armored Core bots on. Actually, one's in my pile of loot right now, mm-hmm. on BBTS.
I just pulled out. Like, I have bottle kits back in the West Coast that I haven't built yet, but I have a whole bunch here in Toronto. I just pulled them all out and stacked them all up, and it's really got me wanting to figure out a solution to the live V-build thing. Because I have too many model kits.
How many have you built any of the D-Styles yet at all?
No, I've got Gao Gaigar and Jader like right here.
You haven't built them yet?
No, not yet. I don't want to rush it. I don't want to like just push through.
Fun.
I know.
They're some of the most. That's what got me back into, or not back into, but that's what got me into the whole Kotobukiya building stuff.
That's why these guys are
so cheap and fun and high quality.
That's why I want to have the most fun I can have building them. And like
1, 2, 3.
Because the live stream I did building Star Saber was so fun.
Yeah.
I really want to do that with those D-Styles. So
the D-Style stuff is so much more rewarding. I think I just hit 10 D-Style kits and I've built them all but one.
Mm-hmm.
They're so much fun, and especially now that BBTS got a local distributor, so you can pick these things all up for under $20, and they're so worth it.
Hell yeah!
And like, even still, like, yeah, BBTS has on clearance right now the Griffin, which is a great kit for $11.89. Why is that still in stock? I keep telling people to buy that.
I see D-Style in stock way more often than I think I would see. Like, I am honestly surprised King Jader is still in stock, given how. Like, there are people who flip out for Gao Gaigar. There are more people, I'm finding, who flip out over King Jader because there's so few toys of him. That was not the only thing in that box. There's one other thing in that box, which I just linked a picture of, because I ordered it a while ago.
Oh, snap.
And it finally showed up. Chogokin! Charming! Drossel. FYI, before I start talking, just so you know, I just checked. She is still in stock on AmiAmi. And the Chogokin Drossel price on AmiAmi is 6,500 yen. That ain't too shabby for what you get, because I popped this figure open. I still haven't, like, messed with all of its gimmicks yet. I honestly just popped it open and pulled the base figure out and just wanted to see what the base figure was like. It's gorgeous. The joints are fantastic. The finish is beautiful. The eyes don't light up, but the moment they catch any kind of outside light, they practically do. It's a really well done figure. For 6,500 yen, I think it is a steal for what you get. The only real downsides are you need the stand. You really honestly need the stand. And sometimes it takes a little while to figure out exactly how some of the joints in the hips work. But it's a really well done figure. And I have to echo the reason why I bought it, which is that for the AmiAmi price, there is no reason not to buy it unless you just hate this design of Drossel. If you have any kind of affinity to the charming Drossel design, just get this. Like, it's a tall figure. The amount of jointing in it, like, especially once I learned how the hip joints worked, there is so much specifically Drossel-style personality you can put into this figure. I haven't even put batteries in the base yet, because I have no AAAs kicking around here right now, but I know. But I opened up the battery compartment, and opening up the battery compartment was just really satisfying, the way that it pops open. Fantastic figure, highly recommended. If you're waiting for the Figma, get this one too, because eventually this one will disappear, and then it will become a lot more expensive. I think, anyway. I buy that situation. And this thing is not chintzy at all. Like, maybe it's lacking some accessories. Like, she primarily has a lot of hands, one alternate head, a stick, and a flower. But, like, you know, she doesn't have the cape, but she does have the wheel parts. She has stand parts. And the finish on the base figure is the important thing. Like, it is a gorgeously finished base figure. There's, like, company inscriptions all over the place. There's working hydraulics here and there. There are painted hydraulics everywhere. It looks gorgeous. So I really recommend this Drossel figure if you're on the fence. But I also know the charming Drossel design is a very, very polarizing one amidst people who dug Fireball season one.
Yeah. Did you watch Charming?
Yes.
Okay.
And I found the ending a little bit. Well, I'm not gonna say. I kind of went like, oh no, for a second. I got some other stuff also today. I got an Amazon.ca order because I wanted to buy some music. There was a new Nightwish album that I didn't know had come out until I went looking around. It's much like Dark Passion Play. There's a 2-CD version that's very affordable, and the second disc is basically fully instrumental versions of the entire album. So it's cool if you dig Nightwish. And then I got 2 CDs from a group that I was introduced to by my friend Kryn. They're called Angel Spit, and I've just linked a picture of the female singer from Angel Spit. They're an Australian band. It's a couple. And their music is really cool, and their look is evocative of their music, which is weird, loud, EBM-y industrial music. So I'm really enjoying that stuff. I had one song by Angel Spit for the longest time called Infect, which had some lovely lines like virgin daughters lining up for matricide, which is just a fun line to have in a song. I also went to Walmart today and I bought socks. They were black.
That's good.
I was running low on socks.
You got to keep your puppies clean. You don't want to reuse socks and you'll get fungus, and that's not fun.
I actually had holes in some of my socks too. Because I keep forgetting to buy new supports for my shoes, because I think I'm just grinding through my socks. And I bought a shelf, because I was tired of having this little, like, 2-foot-tall chest of drawers, and then a huge blank wall above them. So I got a 6-cube, like, shelving unit that looks really dinky. It's a Walmart thing. It was like $50. But it is perfect for me not having stuff piled up next to the chest of drawers, but having stuff arranged in nice cubes over the chest of drawers. So I feel like a winner. And that is everything I got this week. That's all that we got this week. We did pretty good. High fives all around.
Yeah. In my May drop, I have, well, for AmiAmi, I have Figma, Charming Drossel and Riobone Stocking.
My May drop is those two and the D-Style Goldie Mark.
Yeah. And then, of course, I have Mastermind Cyclops coming from BBTS.
Yes. Yeah.
I have more money coming from BBTS this month from Ami Ami, which is not normal. But
the Fall of Cybertron toys not coming out this month, I think, was a real godsend for a lot of people. Because if they were coming out this month, this would have been a very butt-loaded month for people who are like-minded to our tastes. This is Cyclops month. This is also Giant month. I think this was the month of Cyclops, the full yellow Giant, and Fall of Cybertron. Then Fall of Cybertron got bumped to August, as far as we can tell. So, grats for wallets. Anyway, we're going to close this up, so thank you, Gog and Seth, for joining me today for the final episode to start with the word 100 for a long time, until we hit the 100,000s. If you want to leave us a listener voicemail, our Google Voice number is area code 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830. And we will be back next week with the 200. So don't ask me what I'm doing for it, because I'm not even here this weekend. I don't know. I'll go harass that guy. So, bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.